And we are back. Couch Company Podcast. I'm John. With me, as always, Tyler.
Hey, I am here.
Great work on the board there.
Thank you. I never know what to really say. It's like, hey, sup.
That should be like your task every week, just thinking of
Come up with a new one.
Yeah. And then you can't ever say that again.
Howdy. Never saying that again.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
But you got to be careful now because
I'll never say howdy again.
All right.
That's
a gift for the viewers.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I wonder how long you could go
without saying that again?
Without repeating anything again. Now, the question with that as well is, like, does inflection matter when you're doing your introduction? What I'm telling you is you're not allowed to say the same thing twice in your introduction.
Okay. I can do that.
Are we on the same page
with
that? Okay.
What's the bet? Rest of the year?
Dude, here's the problem. I'm never going to be able to keep track of this.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I feel like it'll be like, I feel like you've said that before, and then it's on you to figure it out.
Yeah. I don't like that part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rest of the year.
Okay. What do I get? Cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger.
Yeah. Done.
Done.
Done. Howdy is my first one.
And that's not what you said.
That's not what I said.
You said, hey there.
I don't even remember what I said.
I think you said, hey there.
All right, hey there.
Which is, that's your go-to. So
yeah, I know.
Yeah, I think there. You're going to be sweating next week.
Then howdy's going to be next week.
Yeah, all right. You got one. See, that was easy.
Now, can I say, hey there, hello, and hi?
Yeah. Okay. You can keep adding to
it. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, here's the balance that you're going to struggle with. Like, the more ridiculous you get, you risk people just being like, nope. Like, Matt, you got to think of it this way. Someone's listening to this for the first time.
Yes.
What's the risk reward of getting a cheeseburger versus this person's like, nope, never again?
Well, here's the thing. If a person's just hearing this for the first time, they don't even know what a cheeseburger is. I mean, they know what a cheeseburger is, but they don't know what the cheeseburger bet is.
Yeah, but if we're betting a cheeseburger, while they don't know the nuance of what that is and the meaning behind it, pretty sure
the winner establishes the loser, or the loser buys the winner a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they could have got there, dude.
Well, hey.
I thought you were going to go a step further and talk about Coons.
Nah. All right. That's fine. With inflation, Coons cheeseburgers are probably
Do they
way,
still have those?
Up. I don't know.
Is Coons a national chain?
I don't think so.
Okay. So they don't even know. That's a supermarket.
Yeah.
Not even a supermarket. Probably just a market.
Yep.
What makes it super?
Ooh.
You know what I mean? There's a threshold somewhere. And I don't know what that
supermarket,
is.
Supermarket, I would say, would be chains, like franchises, big brands.
Yeah, but Coons is technically a chain, just not nationally.
No. Supermarket meaning, so you have markets, which is like, it's the markets where like farmers just go and sell their produce and things like that.
Okay.
And you have a supermarket, which is going to be like all your boxed goods, your canned goods, kind of the franchises and different things like that. I'm pulling that out of my butt, but I think that sounds right.
I would buy that. That seems plausible, I guess.
Exactly.
Will we ever investigate? No.
We have a research department for
We used to.
Well, he'll be fine.
He's somewhere. I think he's hibernating or something. We used to have a guy who told us what we said wrong.
So we moved all our stuff over to YouTube, and we started getting comments, and people are just listening to like super old episodes, which is really cool.
That makes me incredibly nervous because I forget all the stuff that
everything
I said.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, well, I'm just saying, if somebody's listening to it and they're like, I could be a research department.
Oh, yeah.
Hit us up.
I'm still waiting for our first essay. I threw a couple essay gauntlets out there.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, nobody likes writing essays. I found that very shocking.
Yeah. I love the thought of it. I love the idea of it. I don't like
these
actually
days,
doing
just,
it.
I mean, put it in ChatGPT. I wouldn't know the difference.
ChatGPT is so
unless they
sterile.
Include like the certainly.
Yeah.
I was like, sometimes I'll just like think about sketches, like comedy sketches. And that was like one, it wouldn't be like funny, but
it's weird because
there's something there.
AI, it depends on what you're using. If you're writing with AI, typically there'll be like just an overabundance of adjectives, just like tons of them.
Mm.
And it's
to
like,
flesh it out.
In a really weird way.
Yeah.
So I think that's one like kind of tell. But on the flip side, so I have a subscription to Grammarly, which is like, here's how you write, you know, all this stuff. So I want to like learn how to like be a better writer, which is fine. But their AI is like almost the opposite in trying to like trim everything and take out any type of character that you might be be writing or like in and stuff like that, right? So like I have a very specific way of writing, I think, like, or like a sarcasm or like just the kind of friendly, informal tone.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm going for.
Like you're speaking.
Like, yeah, exactly. And yeah. I think that that's a little bit more, I don't know, unique than just like this, I don't know, Prince of Persia is a good video game type of cadence.
Right.
So that's what I was going with. But like Grammarly, even if you put the settings on, like, I want it to be casual and informative and all this other stuff, I don't really notice a difference. They're just like, nope, take all these out, take this sentence out, make it two words.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you got to think about like what's the goal of each of the programs. Right. One is trying to fill space. The other is trying to be efficient.
You know, succinct.
Right. Which I think would challenge you, right? Mm-hmm. As a writer, because it's like, okay, if my goal is to only put words on the page that I need,
right?
Can I still make it interesting? Well, like it's going to be more interesting that way, I would think, right? But it's like, can I fill the page up at that point?
Like the big one for me is I always put like really or like these words in front of words.
It's like filler words.
They're like filler words, but the way that Grammarly was describing it is they're like, hey, you know, to just be more convincing, take this out. So when you're just like, oh, it was really great.
Like
you don't have, if it was great, you don't need to like convince somebody, oh, it was really great. Just say what it is and leave it at that. And I think that's helpful. That's helpful advice. I'm learning a lot.
Yeah. Sometimes it's more powerful to be matter of fact and just have a statement.
People just like, oh, you know what you're talking about. Cool.
Yeah. I always struggle with that as well, because like when I'm thinking about like a review or something, and like for a game, I might think it's great, but I always try to look at other people's perspectives. So a lot of the time we might disagree on things. So I try to take a step back and consider the other side of the argument. And therefore I struggle with saying this game is great, or like this game looked awesome or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a lot of the times I'll say, in my opinion, I think whatever, but I think it's better to just say it as it is.
Yeah.
If it were a fact, if that makes sense.
You're putting a lot of the onus on the user reading the review saying like, hey, we think you're intelligent enough to realize that this was written by an individual and their thoughts and opinions are their thoughts and opinions. And it might not be everyone's cup of tea or whatever, you know, like it's.
Yeah. But the internet is.
I love how that's very, the rebuttal is like, well, the internet, and that's
dude, I'm like, I'm telling you, man, it's horrible.
Yeah,
people just have like the worst takes. I don't know, and like I want to believe that people are very reasonable and that it's the minority of people.
Sure.
Because I would have to imagine that most people don't comment on things.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean?
100%.
Like 90% plus.
I can't remember the last time I commented on anything.
I never comment on anything.
Yeah.
So
actually, that's a lie. I commented once where I was watching this like YouTube video or whatever, and somebody had a really cool desk mat, and I just commented, I'm like, hey, what's that desk mat? And like instantly I got the name of it, where like the link.
It was
really cool.
I did that once for a song somebody was using in a video, and it was like Blusty Garden or something from Super Mario Odyssey, or what was the one before Odyssey? The space one. Is the space one Odyssey?
No, Odyssey's was the newer one. It was Super Mario Galaxy.
Galaxy,
yeah.
Yeah. Either the first or second. I don't know. I think there were two, right? So yeah, it's amazing how you can do it. Like there's like Reddits where you're you can like post a picture and be like, what is this?
Yeah.
And they'll give you like exactly.
Dude, it's so wild. Like I just threw just a bunch of like just words into Google of this game that I played as a kid, and I was like, 2D side scroller on DOS, bio mutants exploding body parts.
Because you couldn't remember the name?
I couldn't remember the name.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, it's I mean, like BioLab, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, it gave me everything. Like everything you possibly want. It's like, here you go. You want to play it right now? Hit this button, you know? Like, and it's just like that. That's the beauty of the internet. And then the
we live in the future.
Ugly side is, you know, all the other stuff.
Yeah. Everything else.
Yeah.
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 No, I mean, that is cool though, that we're able to do that. Yeah. I don't think that would work for everything though. Like you'd have to be, I think you did it in a very intelligent way where it's like, those descriptors are like eliminating so many possibilities.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, there's a big issue with AI in descriptions and in reviews and in these different things where, like, I don't know if you saw Amazon doing AI generated reviews where they take all the different reviews written for a product and then make this like summary review.
Oh, wow. That's not going to work.
No, especially if like customers are like, oh, this cured my cancer, and then, you know, somehow the AI pulls it into their review, and then suddenly it's like making claims for a product that doesn't actually do something.
Right.
That's a big issue.
Yeah, I know that goes really bad. I find that there's like a lot of, like, there's just outliers in every kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like you're gonna get 0 out of 5s and you're gonna get 5 out of 5s on like any product.
Mm-hmm.
Usually.
Yeah.
But it's like truth somewhere in the middle, probably.
Usually, but if 90 people are saying like, hey, this was poorly packaged and it came broken, that's enough for me to be like, maybe I don't get it. That's my go-to. Like when I'm looking at reviews, usually I'm looking at like packaging and that sort of thing.
That sounds like you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm getting that butcher block coming in. So I've been looking at reviews for specifically that.
What are you gonna butcher on there?
I don't know. Just sick podcast tracks, sick intros.
I really want to get into like smoking.
Okay,
like, you know, smokers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Not like cigarettes, although I've smoked cigarettes before.
Yeah, because you're cool.
I'm telling you, dude, Norm Macdonald had this one really funny joke where he was like, he was doing this thing for like anti-smoking. He's like talking about how he quit. He's like, I remember when I started, you know, I just wanted to be cool. And wouldn't you know it, I was.
Yeah.
It is so funny. That guy's hilarious. I can't do him justice, but he's one of my favorites, man.
How would you feel about him coming back as an AI?
Nah, dude. That's what makes it special is that, like, we got to see him.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's gone. And you never get it again. Like, isn't that, like, a part of life that you think is special?
I don't know.
Like, we don't get that anymore because, like, these days everything's remade. But
if you don't know.
What do you mean if I don't know?
So what I'm saying is, you understand Norm unfortunately passed away, right?
Yeah.
Pick any younger comedian, right?
Okay.
Science is advanced, right? And on their kind of deathbed, they're like, hey, don't tell anyone I died. Just let this AI keep going. And then you just keep putting out content and everything, just perpetually. Well,
eventually you'd be like, oh, eventually, he's 150.
But my point is, how long could they keep that going when people just don't even know? Where I'm thinking that if you heard a Norm Macdonald stand up, and it's like, oh, I just found this on YouTube, this is so funny, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And you listen to it and you're just like, oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
And it wasn't him, you know?
That'd be sad.
I know.
Yeah. I would hope that I'd be able to tell, but who knows?
Dude, George Carlin.
Weren't people able to tell?
I'm saying for me, right? Because I'm not I listened to George Carlin, but it's not like I'm the biggest fan of him or like heard all his stuff. So I just heard this before I knew the whole like AI controversy thing that they did for him. And I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was well done. It sounded like him. It was all his inflections. Like, it was crazy. And it's like, I wouldn't know the difference. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever. But what are we talking about?
I don't know. Something more positive than what you brought up.
How do we get here from Howdy? Oh, here's the thing. Okay. Thinking about AI and generation, like generative AI, like, do you think that if they took all the information from all the Mass Effects and they took all the message boards, they took all the likes and dislikes and all this stuff as a developer, like the EA, big developer, they're just grabbing all of those comments and just everything. And they build a artificial intelligence that basically directs a game. And you have all the people working on the game still like normal and everything like that, but all the decisions are made by an artificial intelligence based off of the general thoughts and feelings of the internet. Uh-huh. Do you think that that would generate a better game than if they did it like the normal process? And is that giving, you know, users too much power? Does that kill the creative process?
No, I think it'd be worse. There's so many bad takes out there. I think generally, like what people want is not always what they really want. If that makes sense.
It's deep. That's a Steve Jobs
quote. I really think that's true, though.
Sure.
I think, but on the flip side, it's always also kind of true, too, obviously, because like people know what they like. But I don't know. There's something to be said about like artistic vision. Mm-hmm. Like if everyone had that vision, it wouldn't be special.
Right.
Special games wouldn't exist. Like there's something to be said about doing something that nobody saw coming. Or yeah. Nobody expected. Not that it has to be a surprise, but it's just like the general public couldn't have created that. It had to be specific game designers or and, writers and that is or whatever. Close
to like a Steve Jobs thing where he's like, hey, like they don't know until we tell them what they want.
Yeah, which sounds fucked up, right? But like, it's there's true. There's truth to that.
I didn't know I needed an iPad. I didn't know that I needed like an iPhone.
Well, the thing with that, and it's kind of different too, because like it's a sequel, so there's always going to be an element of difference to that because people already have the perception of what it should be. Like everyone knows mm-hmm. what they believe Mass Effect should be at that point, right? So I guess there's an element of that, but I don't know, man. Sequels are tough because it's got to be like the only reason you should make a sequel, which this never happens, is because you have something more to say.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so rare these days, but like I think it's just a cash grab. Although I will say, apparently Kung Fu Panda 4 getting pretty good numbers.
What kind of numbers is it getting?
I don't know. Like Rotten Tomatoes, I thought it was pretty high. I should actually double check before I put my foot in my
just
mouth.
Just watching Jack Black sing the Peach Britney Spears song.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, this is way better. So you get a cover of
In what?
Hit Me Baby One
in
More
Time.
In
this movie?
I don't know if it's in this movie, but somebody on the on the carpet or whatever was like, hey, Jack, can you like finish this song? And they started singing the Britney Spears and he did it. And then he released like the full track for it. Yeah.
Jack Black
it's is better than Britney Spears.
National treasure, dude. Okay, maybe it didn't do that well.
No.
Wait, let me just double check. 86 audience.
Yeah, that's fine. 71
critic, which is still a plump tomato.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, that is good. For the fourth one.
Yeah.
Dude, the first one, you've never seen them.
When you have your phone out, can you check Shrek 4? Just by comparison? Because they're both DreamWorks, right?
Yeah.
So I'd be curious to see where Shrek lands.
When did that come out?
Oh, dude, I don't know.
I
probably don't want to know, to be honest.
Shrek 4.
Is there a Shrek 4?
Oh, there's 2010. Gotta be
yeah, there's a Shrek 4.
Holy crap. Was this the one where...
I couldn't tell you. Never saw it. I think I watched 3. I think I was actually in the theater for 3.
Was in 3 wasn't that bad, I don't think.
I think I was in high school for that.
Shrek 4 got a 54 audience.
Yeah.
57.
So it's critic. Significantly better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, Jack Black carries. He carries everything he's in.
Here's the thing with Jack Black.
My point, though.
I'm sorry.
Hold continue. On to that for a second. Yeah. Is that you should have something to say with a sequel. So apparently... Kung Fu Panda still
has Kung Fu Panda has some more things to talk through.
All right, yeah. Tell me about Jack Black.
Jack Black is, by all kind of intents and purposes, on the same level as Will Ferrell, I think, from a comedian standpoint in terms of me liking their comedy. But for some reason, I stomach Jack Black way more than I have... patience for Will Ferrell.
I disagree with that take. I think their comedic style is very, very different.
Their style is absolutely different. What I'm saying is, like, their level of funniness, in my opinion, are on the same level. Where I don't find either of them like significantly funny.
Yeah.
But Jack Black, I'd be more interested in going to see. Like, if it's like, oh, it's a movie starring Jack Black or whatever. I would be more interested in going to see that versus like, oh, it's the new Will Ferrell movie.
Oh, these days, 1,000%.
Yeah.
I mean, I've talked about how Will Ferrell has like fell off a cliff, man.
Yeah.
I don't know what.
And he's smart. Like he's really
brilliant. He's funny, I still don't know if it was like the right place, right time. Maybe I'm just grown up. Like,
yeah,
a lot of this stuff was like very juvenile comedy.
Right.
I still think it's funny, but I don't know. Like, you can't make Step Brothers today, though. There's like that element as well.
Yeah. People have tried to do that type of.
Yeah, but like, if you do that type, you have to cross all the lines.
Yeah.
I don't think they do anymore. And no. So.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to.
Yeah. Right. Like, you have to commit. But also, it could have just been like, oh, like the 2000s were just, we were just
degenerates.
We were degenerates, terrible people. Yeah. I don't know, man.
It's a perfect example of like, if the general public is okay with it, it's fine.
Like, he was horrible in the Barbie movie, bro. Like, you could have just removed his part from that movie.
You could have given it to, like, was John Hammond Barbie?
No.
That shocks me. I feel like John Hamm would have been a perfect replacement for Will Ferrell.
John Hamm is great. Yeah,
like he's such a douche that I feel like he could have went in there and been perfect.
Dude, he has my favorite episode on Curb when he's trying to be Larry.
Yep.
Or like preparing for a role to be Larry-esque.
He does a very good
job. And there's two Larry Davids. It's like, that's peak.
Yeah.
That's a great show. I've been trying to keep up with the new season.
I know we're kind of jumping all over the place, but in the same vein as television, they released like this table read of Breaking Bad whenever Walt goes in and talks to Hank, and they like Hank knows he's
in the garage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see the thing where they took the table read and then they superimposed the actual scene? So it was like, they took the scene and it was the TV thing was muted and they would pause it just to keep the script and the thing together. But like just the way they were acting were so like just in the table read was so good. Like it was crazy. Like Bryan Cranston was like
ever made.
Giving an amazing performance and he's just sitting there.
Yeah.
And he's so like imposing and just like intimidating. And it was really, really good.
I think it's the best TV show ever made. And people roll their eyes when I say that. And they're like, oh yeah. And the sky's blue or whatever.
Yeah.
Like it's to the point where it's like people don't want to admit that because it's just so obvious, or like a lot of people say,
you
want to
be the contrarian.
You want to be the contrarian. Yeah, everyone wants to be contrarian.
Yeah.
I do too.
Sure.
Like, I get it, but it's so, like, I'm telling you, the first time I watched Breaking Bad, dude, it was already out on Netflix. I was a little late to the show, but I was up till 4 a.m. every night because I was like back in college when I could do that and survive.
Right. Yeah.
I literally just couldn't put it down. Like, the episode ended, and I was like, I have to find out what happened.
Yeah.
Why did this plane blow up? Like, crazy, dude. The show is just so nuts.
Yeah.
But yeah, the acting was just incredible. I think that's like, the story's good, but I think what sets that apart is the performances.
Oh, yeah. Just the pure tension from everybody involved really good.
That's what I actually, so we've talked a lot about like our dream of like making a game or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like it's not like a trope, but like one of the aspects that I really like is the imposing danger or like whatever. Like there's something to be said about like mystery. Like a lot of good plots have mystery, and maybe almost all plots. You're talking about a game, there has to be like an aspect of that where you don't know as the player. But I think like if you can do it where you have the information, but it's just as suspenseful.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're like, oh shit, like I know what's going to happen and the character doesn't, right? I think that's equally as fascinating to me. I like that.
I think it's like a tougher thing to thread that needle, but if you can do it, then 100%. Yeah.
No, I agree. Cool. I think it's a really challenging thing to do, but like when done well, like Seven, right? Like one of my favorite thrillers. Like you know.
Do you?
Kinda.
Okay.
Well, I guess that window is very short because like Morgan Freeman's going through the box and you don't see it, but you're like, kind of put it together.
Yeah,
and then he's walking back. He's like, drop the gun. Oh, I just watched that the other day. That's why it's fresh in my head.
Okay, I was like, that's a pull. Yeah, that makes sense.
Wow, it's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I mean, it technically, like, take it one step further and say, oh, it's a second viewing of it. And you're just like, oh man, like it's,
well, I'll just always remember the first time I watched it. I was just drenched in sweat.
Yeah.
It's like 2 a.m. I'm like, fuck.
I'm
begging Brad Pitt not to shoot him.
Yeah.
He did. Spoilers.
You know what? That's one of those movies I'm surprised they didn't make a sequel.
I love that about it, though.
Oh, absolutely. But you're talking about sequels and, yeah, oh, there's more to tell. They didn't have more to tell and it was done.
That movie would get worse if they made a sequel.
1,000%.
Like it would taint the original.
Yeah. It would be like Saw. It'd be like, oh, picking up the mantle and doing this 25.
Even the first
times.
Saw was like...
Yeah, but you see what I'm saying is like if they made 8... Right, and then it's just like, okay, or 7.5.
Yeah, Fast and Furious. Yeah, but Fast and Furious. Yeah, you can't say that. See, you want both sides of it. Fast and Furious 1 is still the best one. Easily.
Yeah.
You know why?
Probably.
It's about racing.
Yeah.
It's about street racing.
Cars.
They weren't
We can't do a deep dive into the Fast and Furious.
They weren't going to space. There were no tanks.
Yeah.
It was about a cop. Undercover, he was racing in his Nissan.
Just a cop and just the.
I've always wanted. You can get that diesel car in Forza.
Yeah,
dude. I was actually looking today, and I'm murdering you for your time stamps.
No, it's fine. But I might just. What are we? 26 minutes in. Introduction. Go ahead.
Yeah. They're still adding shit to Forza Horizon 5. Like they just did this Euro pack.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
well, yeah, because they came out with a new one and said, oh, no one likes that.
What I don't, yeah, yeah, Forza, what was it called?
It's Forza Motorsport.
Just Forza Motorsport. Yeah. It was not it. I don't think it was bad, but it was just boring.
It's kind of like Need for Speed, right? Like Need for Speed comes out and it's just called Need for Speed because they're like, hey, it's the reboot.
Reset,
yeah. And it's just like, hey, you did a bad job.
We did
with
that
this
with Mortal Kombat too. Yep. Although Mortal Kombat was good.
Yeah.
It got good ratings.
It's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. It got like an 89.
It's okay.
Right?
So Tekken's better.
By 1 point.
Yeah, but there's a lot of unspoken betterness.
Okay.
Nah.
I didn't play Mortal Kombat. I don't know.
It's, yeah. I thought it was disappointing overall. Compared to
yeah, but what
ones
if I played that with you? You might be saying it's better than Tekken.
No.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think so. We could always try it.
I don't know. Like, I'm very nervous to go to a 2D fighter. Because now I'm used to the three dimensions, and you lose in one of
about,
the D's.
Yeah, but
you know,
never want to lose that D. But think about how simplistic it is. Then,
nah, I don't think so. I think there's something there.
Yeah,
probably it has to be. Like I wouldn't call Street Fighter a simplistic game.
No,
I was actually watching the championship. There was like a breakdown of the guy winning. It was fighting games are wild, dude.
Yeah,
he's like, look at this, and he changed this, and he has a 50-50 here and he loses this and it's checkmate and he's like has half health. I know. I was like, what do you mean it's checkmate?
Yeah, like, it's like, done.
He was like walking through like he has anti-air here and he can't do this and he traps him here and this is a frame trap. And he could have won if he let him get hit here, but he's not going to do that. And he blocks and he actually loses. I'm like, this is fucking crazy.
And see,
dude,
this is why you're better, because you're watching that stuff. You're learning that stuff. You're looking at the...
Well, I have nothing to do at work, so that helps
a
lot.
But that's the difference, right? Like, you could play something and be, like, fine with it or whatever and learn a combo here and there and whatnot, but you're getting this, like, deeper, intimate knowledge of the working systems that, like, that's what I'm lacking, where, like, that was very evident last night. Like, you text
me
and you're like, hey, let's hop on Tekken. I'm like, wow, I haven't played that in a month. Let's do it.
I haven't either, to be fair.
Smoked me. Like, if you're looking
at it, was closer than that, though. Like, every game was going to 5.
Yeah, but you won, like, you almost won a 10 in a row.
I was feeling good. I was feeling pretty good.
No wonder you texted me just like, hey, man, let's go.
Well, I like played a couple games. I like lost one, won one. And then I was like, oh, let's see what Tyler's up to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Glad you did. We were just watching.
Because I didn't want to just get smoked online. I was like, all right, let me train with Tyler a little bit.
Tyler instead.
No, it was like, I don't want to lose rank because I lost one game and I lost a ton of rank. And got demoted and then thankfully got it back the second game. But
that feels bad when that happens, for sure.
Yeah, the game was like, you're not supposed to be here. But I was like, dude, I'm hanging in there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Those fucking Yoshimitsus, though, man. They're the worst. I hate that champ so much.
I started watching a video, and immediately was like, I got to get a pad and paper. I got to start writing down like, okay,
I want that's
like
what
one,
I do.
1-1-2, 1-2-2.
I really love. So to me, the way I break it down is I start by learning just moves, mm-hmm. like the chains or whatever, or what are they called? Strings. But there's like flow charts. I love that. Like my 1-2 is like the basic jab combo.
Yeah.
But then it flows out. It's like you can do 1-2-1+2, which is your mid, or 1-2-4, which is your triple high, mm-hmm. right? Or you can 1-2 sidestep into a whole, and it's just like exponentially, there's so many options. And it's just like, if you know your options, that's like step one. You got to know what you can do.
And that's the tough thing too, because like, I mean, we were doing these this one move where like I could either hit you low or I could hit you high.
Yeah.
And then it was just like this like rock, paper, scissors, like guessing game.
That's not a mid.
But imagine if there was like four. That might be a mid.
I hope that's a mid. It or else I'm mid. Literally ducking every time. It has to be a mid because you hit me when I duck.
Yeah, it's a mid.
That would not be a good mix up if it was high or low.
But that's the thing is like it's, you know, it's one of those. Imagine if I had three other moves that I could do there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's really good.
Law.
Oh, yeah. I was like, called him Lee.
Oh man, no, Lee would be great to come back in. While Lay, actually, Lee's in there. So you have Lee, Lay, and Law.
I don't like that. But yeah, I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to expand out a little bit. There's still no guide on Nina out there.
Dude, you're good.
No, I'm not. But I'm like yellow. I'm like yellow rank.
Yeah, but like
that's not even halfway.
For a beginner's guide, that's not bad at all.
Well, there's like there's like a beginner guide.
Why
out
are
there.
You sabotaging our channel? Give the people what they want.
Dude, I'm not that good. But I want like a high quality, like the guy we were watching.
Yeah.
Rufal guy. Rufalmonger.
Sure.
What's his name?
I don't know.
Something like that.
That's not who I was watching, but
you've seen him.
Yeah.
Oh, it was the pool. Yeah, you voted on that pool. Yep. That Steve won for some reason. Like why anyone would want to play Steve, Steve's I don't His voice is grating.
Yeah.
It's bad.
That's your son.
It's Nina's, not my choice.
Nina's kid.
Yeah. Anyways, I want a high quality like guide like that. The problem is by the time it comes out, I'm going to know all that information.
Yeah. I mean, but that's good. Like, that's awesome.
I just don't like the Tekken 8 content community is severely lacking in my opinion.
Why do you think that is? You think it's just like it takes a lot to...
I don't think
unmask a lot of that
series
stuff.
Like, is that popular.
Like, is there that much Street Fighter though? Like for Street Fighter 6?
I looked up like a Chun-Li guide.
Yeah.
And there was like a million.
Yeah, but Chun-Li is like one of the main.
Yeah, it's fair. I'd have to do like a more, like one of the new people maybe or something.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like Street Fighter is probably more popular.
Probably. Yeah.
I don't know. But, and the problem is a lot of the Tekken content creators, they're not doing guides, really. They're kind of just playing the game, which is understandable. Or if they do a guide, it's for their person,
mm-hmm.
which also makes sense. But
yeah, like if you line up and you just happen to be like, oh, like, well, I mean, I guess the other thing too is like if we're trying to find someone else besides just who remaining currently.
Well, yeah, that's why I was doing like Azucena. Like before he got on, I was going through because the guy I was talking about has like an Azucena guide. Mm-hmm. And his videos are great. They're like really high quality. They have different sections with timestamps and how he breaks down is he's like, here are the 10 best moves mm-hmm. that you can learn easily. And then it's like, here are any stances they have. Here's their heat and how it works. Here's like combos. Like all this stuff. Like it's very neatly organized. So I really like his setup with that. But he doesn't have one for Nina. So, but yeah, I was going through Azucena. She's cool.
Is that who you think you're going for?
I don't know. I was thinking about her and I don't know who else I would actually go with. I kind of just want to learn Akuma just to pull it out sometimes.
Yeah.
Like that's a great pocket pick to have.
Yeah.
Like you're getting frustrated and you just pull out the bear.
Yep.
Like I remember we were playing against Justin. I pulled him out and I just beat him and I had no idea what I was doing. So I'm like, yeah.
Well, it's because no one plays him and you just don't know how to like... You know, the
he's literally
crazy.
Just a fuzzy knowledge check
that
nobody knows the answer to. So it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I might try Ling. I was vibing with her a little bit.
Who?
Ling. Oh, Xiaoyu. Xiaoyu, yeah. Yeah.
Is Ling her like...
Ling's her first name.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Xiaoyu's... I was watching some tier lists. People were saying like she's one of the best characters
she's,
in the game.
She's fun. Yeah.
She's like bullshit though. She has a stance where like she can't get hit or something. I was watching. It was like really strange.
When she's like super low.
Yeah.
She can get hit, but it's like you're basically laying on the ground and a lot of moves don't hit that.
Yeah. You know right. What you're it doing. Has to like be specifically ground.
Yeah.
Moves.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
She doesn't have a lot going into that. Like if she goes down, like you kind of know how she's coming up, but like she'll either hit you low or she'll do a high. Like I don't.
Well, she's very much like a knowledge check too, I think, where it's like if you don't know what she does, mm-hmm. you can't play the game.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
if you go that route.
I told you once Eddie comes out, I might
try Eddie, again. Man. I got to learn how to play against him anyways. Everyone's going to play him. So might as well have my sparring partner play him.
Yeah.
So I get used to that.
Dude, how many matches did we play?
Probably like 50.
That's crazy. It wasn't that long. I mean, we played a couple hours, but like we've.
You got on like 9 stuff. And we got off at 12. It was like 3 hours.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize it was that long. Jeez. Okay. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We played like 50 matches.
That's a lot. That's so much.
Dude, gotta get it's better. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
I want to learn new characters, but I love knowing what I'm doing on Nina. That's
yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah, but I think the thing too is like we started picking each other apart a little bit. So the thing that I know what I need to work on, you know what you need to work on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I like continuing along that path.
Yeah. No. But I think it's good to throw in just to mix it up too.
Yeah, maybe we do that. I don't know.
Yeah, I got to finish going through that video because I'm trying to just like, I'm just sitting in practice tool and just going through the video with him
mm-hmm.
just so I can kind of get the muscle memory down. And it's really tough because I find myself starting to do Nina's moves.
Yeah.
There are some things that line up, which I really like. So like the armor crush move is the same. It's like forward 1+2. So there's some similarities there, right? But yeah, she has some stances as a Senna.
Yeah.
So it's kind of different. So I got to get used to that. Like what moves put me into what stance.
Mm-hmm.
Now you'd think that would be complicated, but the nice thing about her and why she's easy for new people, I think, is that when she's in stance, she only has a couple options. So it's very manageable.
That's how Law is. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very just mix up oriented, which is exactly how Law is as well. So. Yeah. You might like her.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's cool.
Try not. Well, if you're using her, I don't want to pick the same person, you know?
Well, I'll just let you know. I'll let you know how it goes.
I'm still waiting for Heihachi to come back, and then I'll just pick him, and I'll be that.
I don't want to pick, like, someone who's, like, really popular, like Jin or something. Even though Jin's supposed to be really easy now.
Yeah.
People were pissed about that. Yeah. I guess Jin used to be really tough,
mm-hmm.
and they really watered him down.
Yeah. Maybe Eddie will be really hard. Maybe they'll throw a curveball and just be like, oh, hey, he's not like this cheese character anymore. Like, you actually have to know what you're doing.
Yeah, it seems like they've changed a lot of stuff in Tekken 8. I don't know. I mean, you would know better than me, but...
It generally, like at least all the characters I've ever played, generally feel the same.
Okay.
To me.
Well, that's important, though, like keeping their identity.
Mm-hmm.
But, like,
Paul's a little different. Paul feels harder to use.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
But I don't know.
Yeah, everyone plays King.
Yeah.
So I like want to play King, but I'm like, King's I don't easier. Want to.
Like he feels play way. King. He feels different, but like easy different. Like, oh, they're midair. We'll just grab you out of midair and just.
Dude.
Like, it's not. Like, I have this theory that I don't think King players are necessarily that good. It's just like, if I have to watch the animation of you just pow driving me every 5 seconds, like
just get tilted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's no different than when you were doing like that air drop kick or whatever, like that spin kick that you do.
Yeah. The coming from the top. Kick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just over and over and over. And I would get like really angry and I'd be like maybe 2 up on you. And then you just run it back and beat me every time. And it's like, it's frustrating.
No, dude, I've been there for sure. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm thinking Azucena, but I got to try some other people
out. It sucks because there's so many games out right now, and just talking about this, I'm like, man, I just want to, like, let's play Tekken.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of in between. Well, Dragon's Dogma 2.
Are you starting that tonight?
I'm going to play that tonight.
Okay.
Unless you want to play Tekken.
I was going to say.
My thumb is killing me, though. I need to figure something out because the Xbox controller destroys my thumb.
Yeah, get a PlayStation one with the flat buttons.
Nah. Xbox is so much better, dude, because it's crisper.
Yeah.
The D-pad's sure. crisper. Like, I know exactly what my inputs are.
All
right. I tried the PlayStation. It was like, it was so sloppy.
Yeah.
It was too soft. Right.
Look, that's...
I know.
It's fine.
Doing it to myself. Yeah. I'd rather win and get hurt than lose and feel good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't know.
That's dedication right there.
That is. Yeah. That's my messed up brain.
Well, if you decide to play it, let me know. Otherwise, I'll spend a few hours making a character in Dragon's Dogma.
Yeah, I got to play that because the thing is, I got to play that this weekend. And then when I'm on the road, I'm going to play the Unicorn game. Unicorn Overlord.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yep. Yeah.
On my Switch, which we were talking about. It's going to be my first Switch game. I'm super excited because my Switch has been sitting in a box since Christmas.
I mean, you got the OLED model too, right? So that thing's going to pop. Yeah. Like, it'll look good. Yeah.
Apparently Switch 2 is not coming out this year.
It'll get announced this year.
Yeah. I wonder if I can return my Switch.
Get a Switch 2. Nah, probably not now.
Probably not now. Yeah. Well, I didn't open it yet.
You got a Christmas time? I think it's over.
Dead.
Yeah. You could go to like Target or something and return it in, but...
My little brother would play the Switch. He actually wanted one. I didn't know that he wanted one. So when I opened it for Christmas, he thought it was his. I was like, ooh, wait, yikes. What? Yeah, it was awkward.
Yeah. I wanted Chelsea to use the... Because Stardew Valley came out with like a major patch.
Oh, like, is that why everyone's playing that?
Yeah, everyone's... It's okay. 190,000 people are playing it now.
Wow.
It's crazy. So she was like, oh, get my Switch out, install it, like, or update it and whatever.
Yeah.
But it's not out for a console yet. It's just PC.
Ooh.
Yeah. They said all the other stuff is like as soon as possible. Yeah.
That never happens.
So she was kind of bummed about that. But I was like, hey, you can just use my Steam Deck and play it on there. But the Steam Deck's bigger than a Switch, so she's not super thrilled with that. I thought I could use it as like an excuse of like, I'll get the OLED Steam Deck and it'll be fine. You know, she wasn't buying it.
I'm sure she'd be fine with it if she tried it.
I think so too. But half the battle is getting her to try stuff, you know? So
hey, isn't that the case with anyone, dude?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Speaking of Dragon's Dogma,
yeah,
we want to talk about the controversy.
So yeah, I saw this video where they were talking about there's like microtransactions in Dragon's Dogma 2. And I didn't know at first. That's why I was asking Tyler about it, because a lot of people complain about stuff these days where it's like, technically it's not always black and white, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So you looked into it. So like, what's the situation?
Yeah. So, I mean, the situation is whenever you have microtransactions on a single player game, people revolt, right? Especially when that single player game is $69.99 and it's, you know, full
or
price game and everything.
61 on Green Man Gaming.
Or 61 on Green Man Gaming, which is what I did. So hopefully
I did that
somewhat
too.
Runs.
Yeah. Oh my God.
We
never learn our lesson.
No, I want to save $10 and I'll just buy a busted game for it. But people are complaining that there are some issues with the performance, which Capcom came out and said, hey, having a bunch of people on the same screen, like all the physics going on, starts to really run the processor, and that's part of the reason. So they're working on a fix. Cool. You know Duinuvo or however you pronounce it, the anti-cheat system?
No.
Okay. Well, if you have that in your game, that's another reason why people revolt, which they have.
They have an anti-cheat
system?
They have
an anti-cheat system.
In a single-player game.
In the single-player game. So the people are not happy about that. It's always, you know, like the online portion of it. But yeah, they have microtransactions for things like, hey, do you want to change your character? Like how it looks? How would you like to pay $1.99 to do that? Or, hey, you want to fast travel? Fast travel is a thing in a game. How about you pay $2.99 for that?
Are these the actual prices?
These are the actual prices, yeah.
Yikes.
So people not super happy. Capcom actually came out, posted it. So it's mostly negative reviews on Steam right now because of this. And Capcom came out and said, hey, you can get all this in the game. You don't have to pay money for it. And then people were just like, okay, well, like, why is it there then? Because the issue is, if you're telling me, oh, hey, by the way, there's no way that they didn't have a boardroom meeting and have a whiteboard and have like kind of this line where it says, oh, you know, it takes a character so-and-so long to, you know, get enough money to buy the character customization, I don't know, orb or whatever it is, you know that they're tweaking levers and things where it's just tempting enough. It's like, well, I could do this, or maybe I just spend the $199 and call it a day type of thing. Like, you can't tell me that there's not a boardroom meeting like that.
No, of course there is. That's the only reason. I mean, we were talking about this before the show. My take on this is I don't think that there's a world in which microtransactions shouldn't exist in a single player game. I mean, in a perfect world, I guess, right? But, like, it isn't 2005 anymore, right? Like, gone are the days where you get a game, it's finished.
Yeah.
And there's literally, they can't add more unless it's, like, another disc. Mm-hmm. Right. So, like, I'm realistic about that. But the thing for me is, like, there should be no gameplay. It shouldn't affect the gameplay at all. Like, it should be cosmetic. That's, like, sure, where my brain's at. Or, like, a music pack or something. Like, that's pretty standard. If it's cosmetic, I don't see, like, I don't think that's reason to complain about it.
I think a lot of the thing that I complain about would be, oh, this game is busted. It's not letting you on server. I'm not talking about Dragon's Dogma per se. I'm just talking in general.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, oh, this game doesn't work. This game is busted. It crashes. It doesn't log you in correctly. It doesn't give you the servers. Doesn't give, you know, populate, whatever. But man, does that store work 100% of the time?
And oh yeah.
Man, can you absolutely give them your money regardless of anything? I think that is what I have a problem with, generally speaking, is they'll...
If the store goes down, they fix that
exactly,
shit.
Exactly, immediately. Yeah. Everything else is just like, oh, we're hoping to patch it. So one of the big things, too, and I'll bring up their thing so I don't misquote them or, you know, anything like that. But to all Dragon's Dogma 2 players, right, we would like to update you on the status of the following items. So they go through here. Crashes and bug fixes. Okay, like... Release a game that's not busted. I beg of you. Like, that's the thing is, what was the last game? Lies of P, maybe.
Like, what last game?
The last game that came out that wasn't busted. I think Lies of P was the last
game. Well, busted.
It, like, ran, like, you were actually surprised at, like, oh, wait a minute, this runs like butter. It looks good. It runs well. Mm. There's no glitchy things. It like, every major title that has released over the course of the past... I don't know, since COVID,
yeah,
has been horribly optimized for PC for a myriad of reasons. Like, it just, like,
I think Alan Wake ran pretty well.
Yeah, to some extent. Yeah. I mean, but when you're looking at the optimization thing, it runs a heck of a lot better now.
Oh yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
it ran fine if you had a high enough graphics card.
Yeah,
and this thing.
Right.
But like, they tweaked it and optimized it, and now it actually like runs on lower performance settings and different things like that. But anyway. Crashes, bug fixes. Here's one. The option of starting a new game.
Yeah, that was the big one. That
seems
big
weird.
One.
We are looking at adding a feature to the Steam version. Okay, a feature. That's what it's called. But we are looking at adding a feature to the Steam version of the game that will allow players that are already playing to restart the game. We will announce more details as soon as we can.
Yeah, that's wild.
What?
Yeah, that's wild. That's that's existed since games.
You think of your cousin Nate. Like, how many times does he restart a game? Like this,
like,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, like 100.
Yeah. So what is?
Although
that
I will
mean?
Say in this one, I think you can change your class.
Sure.
Mid game.
Oh, you can. Yeah, you can change a lot of stuff,
right,
and tweak things around. But I'm saying like a fresh start, a fresh thing. Like it.
Sure.
I do.
Yeah,
it all the
no,
time.
I mean,
right?
You like, should have the option.
Maybe I'll see this as a blessing where it's like, no, if you're going, you just have to go. You can't restart.
You're
going to
be in character select
a long time.
A long time, yeah.
So all the paid DLC, they said all the items listed below can be obtained in-game or as paid DLC items. So character editor, change pawn inclinations. So like if you want to change like your pawn's like class and different things like that. Warp location marker. So if you want to fast travel, that sort of thing. Restore the dead to life. I'm assuming that is if like one of your pawns dies,
yeah,
and you want to like you can get them back, but we'll see. I don't know. I never played the first one, so we'll see how similar. Like going through the comments, like cause you can always filter out just the noise of everyone just piling on of like this is BS. We shouldn't have microtransactions and things like that. And then you could have other people kind of sitting there like, hey, this has always been like in Capcom games. Right? They always microtransact. Not that that makes it right, but it's no. Like, why are you guys surprised about this type of thing?
Right.
And then people were also saying like, hey, like you play an hour and you'll get all of these things.
So, yeah, I heard both sides to it.
Yeah.
But it's just the precedent that it sets, mm-hmm. which, as you stated, has been there previously. Like, even in the last one, I guess, people were talking about. So,
yeah.
But no. I mean, here's the thing, dude. It's the consumer's fault. If you really have such a problem with it, refund your game, mm-hmm. make a statement. But nobody's going to do that. So, it's like... That's the only way you can get your point across is affect them financially and do not play the game.
Like, I wonder what the...
If you feel that passionately about it.
Speaking of whiteboards, I wonder what that number is, right? Like, how many people would have to refund the game? Like, do they lose, you know, like, if 15% of people refunded, is that enough to, oh, wait, we hear you. We apologize. We do, you know, whatever.
Yeah, right.
Because then the other argument there is that too much power on the consumer part where... they can like basically change the tide of development and different things like that. Like obviously microtransactions a little different, but if there's content in the game that people don't like, or if there's it, the game ends in a way that people don't like, or begins in a way that people don't like, whatever. And you have people like just overwhelmingly negative, returning it, spamming it, like all that stuff. And then a developer gives into that or a publisher more likely gives into that. Is that going to set a bad precedent, which was what, I mean, you sent me an article about Mass Effect, which I don't necessarily agree with the article, but I do agree with the idea of fans having the power to just like, we don't like what you did here. So fix it regardless of what your, you know, artistic vision is or anything like that too.
No, I think that's just the nature of it.
I mean, let's be clear. This isn't an artistic vision. So like when I keep saying publisher, I'm sure this isn't the developer saying like, we should have microtransactions in this game. This is Capcom saying, like, how do you monetize this past the $70 that we get everybody to pay?
Right.
So, I don't know.
No, I think the consumer should have the power. And I think, to your point, where it's like, we're unhappy with the story or whatever the case is, gameplay, that's a point where it's like, yeah, I think they should be able to do that. And sure, I think the publisher should be able to cave to that. But it's a situation where it's like, careful what you wish for. Because mm-hmm. maybe they will listen and then you won't like it and they'll hate it again. Nobody wins in that scenario, which sucks.
Or they just give up and they say, nah, no one likes this. It's the franchise. But no one likes the franchise anymore.
You're making the game for the people. So the people should have the say, I think. Or you stick to your guns and you say, no, I created this game. I'm standing by it.
Yeah.
You have that option. It's not like they have to listen.
Well, that's my thing is at some point they have to listen. I'm just curious on what that
they can go down with the ship. Technically,
I mean, I guess I don't think I.
It's in a realistic world. It wouldn't be beneficial for no. I agree, but I'm just saying, like you can't like if you made a game and it was negatively received
mm-hmm.
for like the story. Let's say like oh the ending. I hated that. How could you do that to this franchise or whatever?
Yeah,
it's like you could stick by what you did. Yeah. And then, you know, it is what it is.
Or like Hello Games doing like No Man's Sky, right?
Yeah.
And you have like, oh, okay, it did not release favorably. It could have just been like, crap, and then go away and then that's it. But they didn't. They turned it around. So
More often than not, if there is like universal criticism for something, there's probably something wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's my thought.
We'll see how this goes. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to play it if we play it tonight or this weekend or whatever it is. But
I will say, like, speaking of Mass Effect, like, this is what happened. Like, Mass Effect 3's ending came out. Everyone was pissed.
Mm-hmm.
And then they created a slideshow, which, in my opinion, made it worse.
Yeah.
Because they took away the indoctrination theory.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, yeah, in that case, it would have been better for them just to say nothing. And then you have us people with just huffing copium, just being like, oh, dudes, they're so genius. They're like, this was all,
like,
you know.
The fans fix it and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't confirm it, but don't deny it.
Sure.
That was the dumbest thing they could have done. Like, why would you deny it?
Yeah.
You had people who, like,
had such a better idea than you did.
Well, yeah.
You could have just been like, yep, that was it.
If it was me, I would have confirmed that. Yeah. But even if you didn't want to confirm it, because it's like, no, this isn't what we were going for. Just say nothing. And then half the people who hated the ending think it's actually brilliant.
Right.
Like, what a stupid move.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, sorry.
15 years later, still not over
fine.
It.
That's fine. It's your favorite game, right?
Yeah, it's up there. I was actually thinking about like my favorite games. Because I know we did that list with like Jeff. I would change that a lot now.
You think?
Yeah, because I've cataloged all of the games I've ever played now. So we've been using like Groovy.
Yeah.
Which is, I like it. Tyler doesn't like it because of the
UI could be better.
UI.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool though. Just because it's just a way to categorize all your games. I think the desktop's way better than like doing it on your phone is trash.
Yeah.
But anyways, now that I have categorized all my games, so what I've done is like you can make your own filters or like categories, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. So I have all the games I played, right? But I also have them by console. So like PS1, PS2, Xbox 360, and so on. And then I've started to do them by year. So I have like 2023 and 2024. I'm not going to go back, but like when we started doing this. But now that I have a visual, I'm able to like see everything I played. I've been thinking about what my favorites are.
Do you do like a scientific thing of it though? Like, are you going to, it's just going to be like how you feel at the time, like when you're ranking them.
How I do it is I have them all up. So like, for example, I ordered my PlayStation 1, like my favorite PlayStation 1 games. Cause there was like only like 17. So it was very easy.
Sure.
So yeah. I just, you know, start moving things up, start moving things down, and then you can just be like, okay, well, out of these two games, which ones did I like better? And then they start jumping or going down spaces. Right. I'm not explaining this well, but
no, I got you.
It made sense.
Yeah.
In the moment. So, anyways. Yeah, I think I'm starting to like, because like for example, Baldur's Gate 3 is like has to be in my top 10 now, right? Like that game is I put so many, like I was like that, I was gross when I was playing that, like 12 hours
not showering.
It was bad. I was just having so much fun. Like I didn't want to leave my computer. So like that would be up there. And then honestly, Cyberpunk would probably break my top 10 now.
Interesting. Okay.
In the state that it's in, it's a fantastic game.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we talk about like, well, you know, on release should be considered, but like I think when you're reviewing a game, I agree. But if I'm talking about like my favorite games,
that
should matter, right?
Completely different conversation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, it's one of my favorite games. Like the 2.0 update and onwards, like, that game's really good. It's tight. It has everything I want in a game.
Yeah.
So it's like things like that. So
the problem that I have though is like when I'm thinking, I think Tekken 3 was up there in my favorite games, right? So it's like, but playing it again,
it's rough,
Hole does not hold up.
Yeah. Well, I struggle with that too because it's like Spyro 2 is one of my favorite games.
Yeah.
But that's a little different. I could go back and play Spyro 2 and I think it's
pretty good. It's still
totally fine.
But that's the thing though. Yeah. It's like, okay, would I keep Tekken 3 on there? Or if it's like, hey, here are my top games that I like, is it over time, it's like, oh, I loved this as a kid, so this gets a special place and that sort of thing?
Yeah.
Or is it turn into like, you know, no, currently these are the top 10 games that I would recommend to anybody that is a must play that I definitely want you to do.
Right.
Which I would not put Tekken 3 on, right? Like,
no.
I'd be like, oh, hey, maybe check out Tekken 8 or maybe check out, you know,
right,
something like that. But
that's what's tough about it. For me, I mean, you saw my list. There was a lot of my childhood games on there. So I'm very much a person when I'm ranking things, I consider the experience.
Yeah.
Just as important as like whatever you're talking about. So I include those still because I, even if they don't hold up well, it's like
just the memory.
The memory of it. Yeah. Yeah. Which, like, I mean, look, at the end of the day, isn't that the goal?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just, it's tough for me to put like Spyro the Dragon on when you could do the remake.
Yes. I had trouble with that. I think I ended up putting like Spyro 2, like the original, on there because it's like, look, the remake's great. I have way more hours in Spyro 2 because like it was the right place, right time.
Yeah, right.
captured my imagination. Like, it was like one of the first games that just got me into games. Like, that you realize as a kid, like, wow, look at all these worlds. Like, look at, I'm just exploring. And I don't know. Spyro to me is like the essence of what a fun video game is.
Yeah.
Like, the plot's not crazy. The gameplay's like nothing crazy either, really. Like, I think it's really fun.
It's tight.
Yeah. But it's very repetitive. You're horn attacking people. You're flaming people.
Yeah.
Sometimes
you have to horn attack and then flame.
Sure.
Yeah.
Those pesky shield guys. But it's like, it's nothing crazy, but there's something just magical about that game. It's just like, I don't know. I mean, that put like Insomniac on the map, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Yeah. I don't know.
We should do that. We should revisit that again at some point. Just
the top games.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe
I thought that was a fine episode.
Like, that might even turn into, you know, because we have the updated website now, like, I would love to have those just be like, not necessarily essay format, but I think that would be a cool thing to throw up there and put on there. And we could like pin it somewhere if we wanted to and stuff like that. And
well,
I
think, we had our good buddy Jeff on for that.
Like, what killed Jeff? You could submit that. That's super easy. I can,
but I like his format is what I'm saying.
Yep.
And that's how I envision it for like, so how he did it, just for the audience, just in case you haven't heard that episode, is he just had like, what would you say, like a paragraph for each? Mm-hmm. Just a blurb where it could like spark how he felt about it.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
That's how I'd envision that on like the website.
Definitely.
Yeah. I think we should do it again though, because I would definitely change some things up.
Yeah, I would like to really just kind of try to take a current look. I would probably handle it a little differently.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would.
Dude, but like look. I was looking at my list, like NFL Street is still one of my favorite games. Like, I played it a couple years ago on like an emulator, and I'm like, dude, this game is just as fun as like, like, what a great, talk about simple, but complex enough to where it's fun. And like, it's not hyper realistic, so it holds up really well, because it's more, it's not cartoony, but you know what I mean? It's like,
right. Yeah.
Not real. It's kind of, over the top, I guess, a little bit, kind of like an NFL Blitz, but it'll scale down a little bit. Anyways,
that's
what I'm saying. It's like, so like some of those, that's why it's such a hard conversation with myself, because like some of those childhood games is like, no, they're just really like Battlefront 2. And I know the whole controversy with the new one,
quote unquote new one,
but that game is just so like so fun.
Sure.
Like, yeah,
back when it worked and you had servers.
Well, I think it actually gets servers, even better considering the new one that came out, because you're like, wow, they've really figured this out 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And they can't do it now.
Right.
Yeah. With like way limited technology.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. Maybe I take a look at that. Maybe I put the top, maybe just top 10, or you want to do top 25, or what's the,
I don't know. I mean, we can talk about it.
Yeah. That might be fun.
But
just add it to the list of.
Yeah, that would be so. That's just such a hard. I can't even imagine how many games you played. Like, I've played like 600 games or something. You have to be like quadruple that at least.
Yeah, but you finish 600 games, right?
Mostly. I think my finish rate is like 95%. Plus.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, anywhere close to that.
Well, that's just how my brain works, dude. Like, if I start something, I'm like, dude, that's why I'm like always cautious to start things.
Either I'm obsessed with it and I will crush it, or it's just like, yeah, okay, and I bounce off of it.
Yeah Well, it's probably better to do that. You just get so much exposure to games,
but then you also get kind of jaded. It's six one half dozen the other, like, it's,
I guess,
yeah,
like, but when it comes to you, it's always like you just have such a knowledge because of your experience where it's like, oh, that's like this game or that game, and I have no idea what game you're talking about.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
But that's like extremely useful when you're in this kind of business.
Maybe but then does it just make me, and we'll, I guess we'll get there with Final Fantasy, and we kind of touched on it like last week too, where it's like, oh, hey, this reminds me of this other game that did it, but the other game did it better, or this one does. This game does it better than the other game. You know, like,
sure,
it muddies it, or I feel like nothing's new under the sun type of thing, which isn't necessarily great. That's why I, whenever something new comes along or novel, even if it's not like the greatest game ever, if it's just like, it swings for it and it's like, oh, this is just dumb and fun, or this is like a thoughtful way to execute this, you know, inventory system or whatever.
Backpack Hero.
Yeah, no, exactly. And there are other ones that came out since then.
Yeah.
So you have Backpack Hero, then there's something like, it's a PvP Backpack Hero, basically.
Okay.
So I don't know. It's a double-edged sword, I would think.
Yeah, like sure. I mean, that's a good way to look at it. I just feel stupid sometimes where I'm like, oh, I don't know that game. Don't know that game. It's like I feel like I'm talking about the same five games over and over.
But you have a more intimate and direct knowledge of something, too. So I could talk about Final Fantasy on the surface of something. But do I have like an actual understanding of all the systems and how they go together and really what comes of, you know, like unlocking all the different materia and abilities and different things like that? No. So you can talk more intelligently about that than I can.
Yeah, I guess.
We're just putting ourselves down while building each other up. I don't know.
That's pretty on brand.
I don't know. I was going to talk about Little Guardsman. I think that game looks awesome. Like, it looks okay, really, really good. Like, the style of it is clean. It's pretty.
What is it?
It is Papers, Please.
Yeah. Oh, right.
So I started it. It's all voice acted, which is actually really awesome.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess I could talk a little bit about it, but your dad wakes you up and he's like, hey, Lil, Lil Guardsman, but her name is Lil. You have to go man the guards booth because I want to go bet on the goblin ball game or whatever.
Oh, it's like a fantasy world.
Yeah. Gotcha. Gambling. So you have this kingdom and you have to either let people into the kingdom or turn them away.
Right.
And every day is a little bit different. And every day there's like kind of decrees that you have to. So it's like, oh, if you meet a person with a really funny name, call the jester because he wants to meet him or whatever. Like
right.
That. And you just go through and you have like a metal detector and a truth serum and all this other stuff. But you can only use each of these like one time, at least in the beginning. So you have like a decoder ring if you know. So like this troll comes in and is like, oh, I have to get my kids out of the castle or something, and it hands this like scribbled note and you're like, I can't read this, and you use a decoder ring and it says like, help us, we're being held against our will or something, and you're like, oh, okay, let her in, you know. It's this weird thing, but yeah. The idea is, because it's like, it's not like this roguelite or anything, it's just you make your decisions and see how the game ends,
right?
At least that's how I understand it right now, and it was pretty fun. Like, I got through the first night, things are opening up, all the characters are really well designed and funny, and it's not like overly done. So I think generally speaking, I'm enjoying it. I put it on the Steam Deck. So
yeah,
very awesome. Just laying
plays
game.
Well on the Steam Deck.
Yep. Nice. Oh, perfectly. Yeah.
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 That's so good. Yeah.
Anyway,
you're going to need those games when the kid comes.
Yeah. That's definitely
sit around and play on the Steam Deck.
Balatro is going to be on the phone though. So that's going to be a awesome.
Oh,
thing.
Dude. Yeah, that, yeah. That's exciting.
So anyway, Little Guardsman's good. So
yeah,
far.
No. I liked Papers, Please a lot. That was a fun game.
Yeah. I didn't know you played that. Like, I know you were talking that you did last week, but yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that was a fun one. So, yeah.
Cool.
What is it on? Steam?
Steam, yeah. I don't know if it's on anything else. If it was on Switch, that'd be a good Switch game, too.
I'm trying to be on the lookout for, I was telling you today, controls on Game Pass. I'm trying to be on it because I got to hit my quota of two games. I already have the first game. I played Persona 3.
Okay.
I need a second game by the end of the year to make sure it's worth it for my subscription.
Oh, for Game Pass. I see what you're saying.
That's
like,
how
I
my brain works.
For a second.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's like I'm paying like $120.
Yeah, but you can get an Ultimate Edition of Control for not even close to that. Not to rain on your parade there.
No, I know. That's not going to cut it. That's why I'm on the lookout.
For more
other games. Okay. Yeah. I'm like...
Yeah, that's got to be like maybe a $30 game for the Ultimate Edition.
Right, exactly.
Maybe 40.
So if I get another game, maybe I can get there. But that's how my brain works. I'm like, I got it.
I mean, that's why I'll throw some indies at you. I still like I got Like a Dragon. I bought that. I don't know if I told you that. I'm sure by the time I start it, it's going to come out on Game Pass. I'm going to be upset.
That'd be brutal.
If
that comes out on Game Pass, I would play that.
Yeah.
It's got great reviews, so
it's on the docket. We'll see how Dragon's Dogma goes.
It'll be in the Game of the Year conversation, so it's like I want to be able to. We did pretty well last year with that, but there were still some missing links, and I want to shore up those gaps. Now that I have a Switch, I should be able to theoretically.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, if you're doing the unicorn game, then that's huge
one.
Thing
right there. Right.
All
right.
I mean, speaking of games that came out, kind of was like, hey man, you want to talk through Final Fantasy? I don't want to say I'm tapping out.
Yeah.
Because if you convince me that it's amazing and I was like, I got to see it for myself, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I got to chapter 6. Yeah. So I got a little farther than I was last time
we cruise scouted. Ship.
Yeah. Which I thought was probably the most fun I had in the game so far. Just
I
playing,
love the cruise.
Yeah,
that was
just
awesome.
Playing.
That was a fun
Queensblood. Yeah, which I still think is awesome.
Yeah.
So with Dragon's Dogma coming out, with a lot of other stuff coming out, my thing is Final Fantasy is not grabbing me. I'm having a lot of trouble connecting with it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say like caring about it, but like when I say caring about it, like again, like grabbing me, connecting with me, being like, oh, I have a vested interest in these characters. It's not to the same level as the first game. You finished it.
Yeah.
So I figure, okay, let's talk through it. Obviously, I mean, you'll be doing the heavy lifting here when you're talking through the game itself and kind of your thoughts and impressions and different things like that. We'll give it a score. It's going to be a solo score, I think, for this one, because I just don't think that I have enough in it that I put, 25 hours into it, but yeah. I don't think, in a game like that, I don't think it's enough.
Yeah, it's a long game.
So, like, I'll put my, I guess, preliminary score on it, because I think it's not a bad game.
Sure.
But, yeah, I think the official score for Couch Company is going to be kind of resting on your shoulders.
Which is brutal, because... I don't know. I mean, we'll talk about it, but I have a lot of thoughts about the game.
Yeah, which I want to unpack it. So for people listening, we'll talk through Final Fantasy VII. I think this is probably how we'll just kind of carry it out, because I'm sure you have a lot of, like, this will probably finish us out here. Spoilers. So I think you can kind of have free reign here. So people that are listening, major spoiler warning. I'll put spoilers in the, title chapter things. I'll try to, in the discovery section or whatever, try to.
Dude, our website still doesn't work, by the way. You gotta put in www.
Really?
couchcompanygames.com or couchcompany.games. No, I'm on Safari.
Safari, interesting. Okay.
Which is what most people use.
No. What are you talking about?
On their iPhone?
On their iPhone?
You want to take a
Safari's for pornography. I don't think you put it.
Okay, dude, maybe. Everyone uses Safari on their iPhone.
I would love to see the
diagram of that. That is a cheeseburger I would take in a second.
You're probably right. You're probably
100%. Right. Like, most people don't care.
Yeah, okay. Well, www.couchcompany.games. I'll look into it. That's fine.
Yeah, I don't know why it's not. Anyways.
Get more coffee. Do you want more coffee?
Yeah, if there's any left. All right, you want me to start? You want me to go?
Yeah, go for
it. You want me to hit it? Okay, so Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. This is a game, so this is just an interesting... I talked about this last time with the remake, so I never played the original Final Fantasy VII, right? I did play the remake back in 2020, and it really did grab me to the point where I went back and played the original. So I was like totally bought in. And so I've been waiting like 4 years for this game. So that's like a long
time. And this is part two of three.
Part two of three. And like you have to consider like these days, 4 years is like crazy to wait for another game, right?
Is it? I thought that's kind of standard.
No way. We get a Call of Duty every year?
So Call of Duty, with Call of Duty and Madden aside, what's another game that came out?
Which are like the most popular games.
Yeah, but they are also 25 studios. Like it's not the same studio every time.
I understand that, but it's just the expectation of like, I'm getting another this brand of game.
Yeah, I guess.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. That's fair.
I mean, we only had to wait like, 10 years for Dragon's Dogma 2?
Well, you think of Dragon's Dogma 2, you think of The Witcher. How long for another Witcher game? Fable.
That's true.
Elder Scrolls, Fallout. Like all of these games, all the big RPG
but Elder
games
Scrolls is like, that was like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Right, but what I'm saying is like 4 years I don't think is that bad in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, I don't know. But those aren't direct sequels. Like Grand Theft Auto, it's not continuing that story. It's a different game. Elder Scrolls is a different game.
Yeah.
Fallout's different every time.
Sure. I mean, what about Gears of War? Halo?
How long did those take?
1 and 4 years.
Like between Halo 4 and Halo 5?
Yeah, probably.
Right.
I can see it. I mean, continue.
You're probably
curious
right
now.
Anyways, I was waiting 4 years, which seemed like a long time. Maybe it's not. So like the anticipation was high. Anyways, I really enjoyed this game. Really, really enjoyed this game. And it's tough because when I heard that Tyler it didn't grab him as much. I had to like really reflect and like try to be more critical, because it's like, am I just being blinded? Now, the difference is here, my argument would be I'm not blinded by nostalgia because I didn't grow up with this game.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you can't really say that about me, but like maybe I'm blinded by the property itself. Like you get kind of, sometimes you can get wrapped up in just all the hype and like, you know, we have our friend Kyle who did grow up with the game, his favorite game of all time. You hear how passionate he is about it. You hear how passionate other people are about it. Like it's easy to get wrapped up in that hype potentially. So maybe that's an aspect of it. But for me personally, I just had a blast the whole time. I put 75 hours into the game. I played it like straight. Mm-hmm. Like I finished in what, like 2 weeks or so?
Something like that. Yeah. Cause I mean, you were gone for a week too. So like,
yeah, I couldn't even play it for a whole weekend. I like crushed that game.
Yeah.
It's one of the most fun experiences I've had in games in a really long time. Like I had a smile on my face through a lot of the sections. It was like a game where like I had the opposite kind of reaction of you, where it's like, I did think about it when I went to bed. I did want to play it while I was at work. I was just,
yeah, which is awesome.
Counting the minutes till I could play the game again. So, like there was no other game I was playing until like I put Tekken down. I haven't touched League in fucking forever, which I am so scared to go back to because I'm gonna be terrible. But I just had a blast. So the game itself, I guess I'll start with like the gameplay. I really enjoyed the gameplay. It's much of the same from the first one in terms of the combat, which I really liked. I think they strike a really good balance between this new action style that they're going with while keeping with the ATB system from the classic. So it still has the notes from the classic. Of course, it's not going to be the same. It's not going to be turn-based. And I know the turn-based mode is like not very good. Like you should play it normally. It's just going to be effectively different. So like if you want a turn-based game, it's not going to be it. But I like the fact that like you can pause the game and you have all your options. Like that to me seems like very DNA is from like the original.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, your menus, you can do your magic, you can do your, you know, special abilities, which is actually even a step further from the original, because you don't get the like abilities in the original. You have to like have the materia and then you know,
right?
So you don't have like the weapon abilities, which I love that addition, because that just gives a new component to the combat.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like one step further than magic, you also have like your physical abilities too. So anyways,
it's kind of weird because a lot of that stuff doesn't pull from your MP, right? So like you're using these abilities constantly, you're using right. like these, what, so it's almost like that gauge is like almost antiquated, right? Like unless you're using a character as like your primary caster or something like that. And maybe I'm just playing it completely wrong, which is maybe why it didn't connect with me, but like it did seem like I rarely used a lot of magic. Like I would use like, oh, it's a robot, like like thunder, whatever.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time the abilities you have could be like, oh, use fire without spending MP, or use this fire sword thing and whatnot. And like,
right.
you could still hit them with the elements that you needed without expending the.
Yeah. I think you could do that. I think the magic, if you're using it for damage, it's more concentrated. Like when you're hitting a weakness with a Faraga or whatever, like that's going to just be infinitely better than your sword. But there's also just a lot of useful spells, you know, like haste is one of the best ones, because that's going to increase your ATB gauge, how you're getting it. Yeah. So you can use those moves more. So it kind of compounds that. But there's a lot, I mean, there's a lot of options too, which I really love about it. Like there is a ton of material in this game. I'm not even close to having all of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really fun. And like, I think it's just, I mean, I'm going to say this a lot, but it's reminiscent of the original as well, where there's just like a ton of different materia and options and ways, styles to fight.
Is there anything new from a materia standpoint? Because I know that was one of my criticisms last week, where it did seem like they lifted that system, dropped it into this game, and didn't really tweak anything to kind of fit it in a newer, better way. Am I
new
off the mark
in
here?
New from the original or new from the remake? The first game.
Oh, I was thinking more of the original, but I guess technically it'd be for like the remake too.
Yeah, I think there's some new aspects of it though. I will say one of the negatives is just the inventory system itself, like slotting material and stuff. It's like super slow. Like you think they would have a better system for that, where like, especially in this game where you find yourself being forced into particular parties a lot of the points during the story.
Right. Yeah.
It's just a headache to have to go in there and redo all the material. It was actually easier in the original, where you could like swap it with someone else or something, I think.
It was like, because you have the material, you were saying, you have like your sword abilities, your weapon abilities.
Yeah.
You have like your co-op abilities.
Right.
You have your summons, you have your limits, you have your shortcut keys, you have like, it's just a lot of stuff and they're not all together. So it's like, if you want to change like your shortcuts, it's here. And if you want to change your materia, it's here. And you can change all the materia if you hit this other button, or you have to go into each one. But if you want to change your weapon, then you have to go to a different menu. And it's just, it's very cumbersome and it never felt fluid to me. For something like that, not to jump ahead on, because I think that's part of the presentation and stuff. But that was the thing that, like, when we're talking about newness and what the game was, it seemed specifically materia, which I thought could be like, oh, I can't wait to see what they do with this and kind of like blow it out of the water and make this whole new thing because they had such a good foundation. It just seemed like it was like, hey, here's the materia. So, oh yeah, here's all these things, but like, it doesn't really. Like, if you're looking at one materia and it's like, hey, this is going to heal you like crazy versus like, hey, here's haste. It's like, I don't know what haste does. And okay, I'll do with this one. And then haste just kind of falls by the wayside. And like, you don't really go back to it, or they don't like encourage you to try.
So you wish like the descriptions were better, or
either the descriptions were better, or there was like a really near instant, like, oh, this is what this is for type of thing. Like they don't really hold your hand, which could be what a lot of people are looking for.
Yeah.
Very much like that first game where you just kind of have to figure it out.
Yeah.
Right. I just think there's so many systems in this one, and they explain so much other stuff in this one.
Yeah.
That understanding how everything fits together. Like, I mean, when you were telling me like, oh, well, if you do an ability, it gives you a little tick mark, and then that's how you do your kind of synergy.
Yeah. Yeah. There's an indicator in the,
maybe I'm just dense, but like, you saying that was what triggered me to then go in and be like, oh, okay, this makes sense. And I was playing differently than what I was originally playing to try to fit that.
Fair.
So I don't know. I think they explain a lot of good stuff, but then a lot of the stuff that's just lifted directly from the original game, I don't think they really explain too well.
Yeah, I don't think this game's super friendly to someone who hasn't played Remake or even the original.
Or remembers,
right. Yeah. I think if you played the first one, though, it'll come back to you. I mean, it did for me, for sure. So it's tough to say. It's not, I don't think you can, like, that was a question I think people had, is like, can you start with this one? And I think the answer is like, probably not. You would be, not just the gameplay, but the story as well. I just think there's a lot going on. Not to say you couldn't enjoy it, but I think you're missing out on a lot, at least not playing the first remake.
And the crazy thing is, a lot of the tooltips that pop up and like you have to like hit like click it off the screen.
Yeah,
I read a lot of them, and a lot of them I'm like, oh, this is helpful. Okay, cool. Thanks.
Right.
But specifically for materia, I felt like it was really lacking. Yeah, yeah. Like you don't like even like the little icon of like, oh, these are connected.
Mm-hmm.
Like you kind of have to just know that,
right?
You know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you didn't play the original, you don't know those types of things. It's not obvious, maybe.
It's fine. It's just like, I mean, that seems very inaccessible when the rest of the game is trying to be accessible and explain it to you and everything. Like, it's just, it's such an important system.
Yeah.
It makes combat feel so much better.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
Right.
It's weird that it was kind of omitted from that.
Yeah. I think maybe there could have been more attention put into that. You know, it's hard to tell, though, because, like, I didn't have that problem, right? So I wasn't thinking about it from that angle. I kind of knew it already. So, you know, when you're not in that kind of new player kind of shoes, it's hard to consider those things.
And I could, like I said, I could be just dense.
No,
like,
I don't think you are. I think,
and that's it.
Because you're not even new to it. So, like, imagine someone who's just picking this up for the first time. Like,
yeah,
it'd be even worse, probably, right? So, I think it's a fair criticism. For me personally, I really enjoyed the combat. I know you said it wasn't really clicking with you, but I thought all of the characters have a unique style to them that's really fun. I felt myself really enjoying, honestly, every character as it pertains to combat, switching through them. And like, I understand it's kind of annoying that your party switches, but I think they're kind of forcing you to mm-hmm. use everyone. I found that to be successful because, you know, I think a lot of us have our biases and, like, you know, I had my original party and, like, even in the original game, dude, I had, like, Tifa was stacked, you know, and,
yeah,
like,
yeah, absolutely.
Someone like Cait Sith was terrible. So it's like, I liked how they actually integrated everyone and forced you to kind of use them and learn them. I thought the boss fights were really well done as well. Like, I think they each have their, like, their gimmicks and ways you have to go about fighting them. And I found that, like, I never felt like I was doing the same thing on boss fights. I always felt like I had to strategize and learn their movements and was mm-hmm. challenged by that. And it was really fun for me. And the design as well, like, I think they just nailed a lot of that stuff. Like, I just really think a lot of the game is very faithful
to the original. From a boss standpoint, I'm glad you brought that up. Like, and I don't want this to seem like I'm just talking on the game. No. I'm just trying to give a different perspective.
Of course.
You really like 16. Final Fantasy 16.
I did.
Right? Like those bosses, those things. Like, and I understand it's like a little bit different.
But that's
tone.
More like, that was more like repetitive.
You're like fighting gods and stuff and everything.
But even how you took them down. I never game felt like, oh, I got to switch up my play style.
Sure. Yeah.
In 16, I liked the different options I had. I didn't feel like I had to use them, but I just had fun using them. The reason I liked the boss fights in that game, I just thought the grand scale of it was sick.
Yeah, and like, again, maybe
was cool.
Maybe
the music
I'm just,
was cool. And
right, exactly. But yeah. That's the thing is like that you had the spectacle, and while it was still somewhat repetitive, you were still like kind of...
Yeah, I was engaged.
Yeah.
But not everyone... Well, I think not that this should be a review about 16, but I think that's one of the stronger points of 16 was big scale moments.
But like that was more engaging where like I'm looking at these boss fights in 7 and like I didn't really have like fun with any of them. And maybe it's just me not adapting or trying new things or you know, just seeing what sticks and stuff. But like one that stood out was like the one where you like save Yuffie and like you're fighting that big fish that's just like floating around and stuff. And like putting your party in like bubbles that you have to.
Yeah.
And like, I understand like some of that existed in the original, not necessarily that fight, but like, you're incapacitated.
Yeah.
Or you have to save your party, whatever.
Right.
But it just felt bad to play it. And it was just like, okay, like I'm shooting this. Okay. Now I have to focus on this guy while this thing just keeps like just peppering me over and over again.
Mm.
And like you can dodge and you can kind of like parry some stuff, but it's not like, it's an aspect of the game, but when I try to do that in like a really active way of like, okay, I'm going to dodge here and then I'm going to just parry this attack or whatever, I feel like I'm just getting like smacked in the back or it like doesn't actually parry just because it maybe not lined up exactly right in different things like that. It just felt clunky, I think, overall. And it led me to the point where I said this last week, where I'm like, man, I wish at this point I would just have a turn-based system where I don't have to like try to put the input in, but because I put it in and because the world's still moving, they hit me before I can get like my magic off and I get knocked down and then I just get pummeled. And it's crazy where it's like, oh, if I'm getting hurt as an active player, so if I'm playing as Cloud and I'm hitting things and I just see his health bar ticking down, it's almost like, oh, I'll just switch to a different character and then suddenly he's not getting hit as much because then like the aggro is on your current character.
Right.
I don't know. It just, that's kind of what I was getting at, where it was like the boss fights didn't seem like thrilling to me, I guess. It was more of just like, all right, I just got to do a ton of damage here and hope that like it's like a race to get your meters up because that then I can just pummel them. And I understand that's like a fight. It just, I don't know. It wasn't clicking. That's the thing. Is like,
no,
it was
I think
not
it's
grabbing
fair.
Me.
I think that's, look, I mean, I think it's a fair criticism. I didn't really have that problem though. I mean, yeah, there's some learning curve about like you gotta understand what the boss is doing. I got beat up in a lot of those fights at the beginning, but I felt pretty rewarded when I could notice some of the patterns. I know that I can parry this attack. There's a materia too that like extends that window of parrying,
one,
like
yeah.
the steadfast block. I found that really helpful too. So yeah, I don't know. I didn't find it to be clunky per se. I also like switching characters. I try to utilize that to my advantage as well, right? Like I'll switch to a particular character, maybe like my tank, make sure the aggro is on him, and then switch quickly to the other two to set up their attacks, things like this. So I try to be strategic about it.
And you have to, really. Like, yeah. To play it, quote unquote, right, you have to do that. Otherwise, it's going to be, like, no gauges are going to fill up fast enough for you to do anything.
Yeah, you have to be active with it.
Yeah.
You have to be intentional about it. Although I'm sure, like, maybe if you're, like, on easy mode.
Maybe, and there's materia that, like, this character will just use its special abilities and stuff like that.
Right. There is materia for that, too, if you want to focus on a specific character. Yeah, and that material is not bad either. Like, I use some of that stuff where they'll, like, use an item or something in certain spots. So, yeah, you can get creative. I think there's a lot of experimentation that you can do. I found it pretty rewarding. Like, I felt like I was rewarded for experimenting, for trying new things. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, no, I really like the boss fights. I mean, the music's fantastic.
Oh, music's great. Yeah.
And I thought the boss fights were really fun. Like, were they as epic as 16? No. But I thought the combat was way better. Like, I felt more engaged in, like, what I was doing. I actually had to think instead of 16 where I was just beating the shit out of these big dudes.
Titan, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. So, yeah, overall, I thought the combat was really good, personally. But my favorite part of the game is the characters and the story. Mm-hmm. I think they just really nail... I think the best part of the game is the characters. I think they got the characters 100% right. They just really have the essence. The performances in particular are, like, just really make it for me. I think all of the voice actors they got are just, like, perfect for their character. And, yeah, a lot of the, you know, just... and look, I'm not an expert on the original, but it seems to me that it's pretty faithful to, like, who these characters are. Like, how they talk and... you know, the actions that they do and stuff. So I found that really fun. And that's, like, my favorite part. I mean, that's what drew me in the first place, why I wanted to go back and play the original.
Mm-hmm.
That and the story. I think the story is pretty compelling as well. But mainly the characters. So I think they did that well. A lot of the set pieces are the same. So, like, we thought that people were worried about, like, so the end of the first one, like, you know, just crazy shit happens and people were worried about there's going to be a lot of changes, not going to be the same game. You know, I was saying, a lot of people were saying as well, like, no, I think they'll do the same thing where you start follow the main story beats. And it's not 100% the same, but a lot of it is. They're, like, walking this line where it's, like, they want to be faithful to the original. They want to go to all the same spots, have those iconic scenes and stuff. But it's not the original. There's something new to it as well. So I think they walk it really well, honestly. I know that some people disagree with that, but for me personally... you get all those iconic scenes. Most of them are done really well. I mean, I have some nitpicks about a few of them, like the Barrett stuff. And I think a lot of that actually has to do with, like, the rating of the game. So, like, when you learn about Barrett's backstory, like, his best friend, right? You know, he thinks that he's dead. He finds out he's not. And that's when he, like, shoots up the gold saucer and stuff. But he eventually has to fight him and there's still all of that, but, like, he essentially kills himself. Like, he jumps off a cliff. He's like, I can't face my daughter. Like, it's pretty impactful scene, like, pretty heavy.
Yeah, not Barrett,
his friend. So in this one, it's kind of weird. Like, they hit all of it, but the way he dies is a little bit different where it's like Shinra troops show up and kind of just shoot him. He just, like, runs at him. And it was like, that didn't hit as well. But I think it's because they couldn't have him unalive himself.
I don't know. 13? What's the rating on this? It has to be rated M.
No, it's not.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, they swear all the time.
Yeah, but not F-bombs.
I guess. Okay.
But I think there's, like, a couple of those things, like, they couldn't really go all the way because of the rating of the game.
That's wild to me.
Yeah. So, which is crazy because, like, you can just have him shoot up the gold saucer and there's all these dead people on the ground. But then he can't, like, jump off a cliff.
Yeah.
It's really strange.
Huh.
But I think that's my theory. Maybe they just wanted to go in a different direction. But so some of those scenes from the original, I think, could have been better. That didn't hit 100% for me, but I think overall they really captured it. Like, all the places you go to, Junon was fantastic. I was telling Tyler and Kyle just that, like, I had a smile on my face the whole time. Like, when you're doing the parade and stuff, like, that was just so good.
I will say that that, like, section and, like, how it was and, like, what you were walking around, like, that felt very much like the original game. But, like, in a in a much more dramatic and, like
no, I think it was a perfect example of, like, them just expanding and making it better. And it was, like, and then you have, like, these troops you form, like, a connection with. It's, like, so, it was so weird and goofy, but in a perfect way. Yeah. I was just laughing the whole time, smiling. But yeah, a lot of that stuff. Gungaga is like totally expanded. Like in the original, it's just like a couple huts and you're there for like 5 minutes, and now it's like this whole chapter. So yeah, I just think they really nailed a lot of those aspects of the game. It's a perfect no, but I think they're very faithful to the original. I think people were worried about that, and I think they did it justice in like 99% of the cases.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the game looks great. I'm really excited to see it on PC, though.
I think they just released the patch to make it sharper.
A lot of people were complaining about performance mode. I didn't find it that bad, actually. But
so I actually changed the PlayStation to 1440p.
Really?
Yeah, Digital Foundry said it took a lot of like the blockiness out of it, and it seemed to. Well,
I was playing on 1440.
Yeah, so then it was probably
maybe
fine.
That's why.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to play it. I love the environments, though. I think what they did with this, you know, with the open world, it's not technically open world, but the huge zones. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it'd be possible. I think they did an amazing job, and I know we disagree on this. Where you kind of didn't like the zones, you thought they were kind of boring, I guess. But
I think overall, like the between cities, the cities are incredible. Like they're very well done. They're populated. You have every they're very distinct. I think the open world part of it is like very cookie cutter, not like it's not like a living world. Like you look at like something like a Witcher presumably Dragon's Dogma, you know, because that's what they're going for. That's more engaging. It's more like anything can happen. You feel the stuff.
Yeah.
This it's like you could, if you did like a bird's eye view, it would literally be like, I don't know, here's the map, and we'll put enemy here, 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 here.
Yeah.
And you can just not go through the, like, something like Elden Ring even.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
What kind of garbage game that is. And even that has, and even that has just, like, pure discovery and just this awe and wonder.
Right.
Where Final Fantasy, the awe and wonder is just, like, get me to that city.
Yeah.
Sure. And let me explore there. And it's just that's part of it.
I think it's fair. It's definitely not best in class, but and maybe this I have the blinders on because I just fell in love with this world. But there's just something I really connected to, like just the coming out in the grasslands for the first time was just so cool, and just seeing it's wide open and I can go anywhere. And I felt like, you know, you get the chocobos too, and I felt like it. I don't know. It doesn't waste your time. Like I felt like I could get to places very quickly. I could get to all the towers quickly. I'm not, it wasn't a slog to me.
My thing is if you took that out, the game's not worse off for it. I think is really what it boils down to. Cause like, if you look at these different areas, and I'll go grasslands. Cause again, I only did the 20 hours. Like the one where it's like I'm painting all the map in.
Yeah. Right?
And I get to this like, section of windmills, and it's just like this lady's like, man, I really wish we get this windmill working.
Yeah
And it's like, okay, and to me that would be like, all right lady, what can I do for you? How can I help you? Like,
right.
Like something like start a quest, but from that point, if you happen to find it and talk to her first. But because that's not how the game was structured, I did the discovery already. I already talked to her in her one line or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's this area that you literally can't do anything in until you progress, go and progress along the other story. And then finally this guy's like, oh, go talk to so-and-so.
Right,
I was like painting stuff in, I had some of the parts and different things, but it's like, it didn't feel like a natural, oh, I discovered this and I followed this quest line.
Yeah.
Say what you will about like Starfield even, they do a fairly good job of, oh, you talk to this person first, so this is where your point of interaction starts.
Yeah.
And I felt that it's just lacking in that way where and this is why I didn't really, which I should have, but that's why I didn't explore Junon apparently as thoroughly outside of like the city,
yeah,
was because it's like, man, it's not rewarding. Why should I do this if all the quest lines are just going to point me in those directions anyway?
Yeah, right.
And that's, again, how I play the game. And yeah. I'm just, that's why I'm not clicking, is the way I play the game is different than I think the developers want you to play it.
But that's a fair take, because like, you should be able to play the game however you want. So I don't think...
In theory, yeah.
I don't... Like, if it's a truly a good game, I think you should be able to play it anyway, and it's going to be fun for anyone. So I think it's fair criticism. For me, I kind of looked at it a little bit differently, where I really enjoyed the side quests, because I don't personally think they're going for, like, an Elden Ring, like, look at what I discovered, and I'm just wandering around. To me, it's all about the characters. It's rooted in the characters, and we see this with the side quests that I really love the addition, that every side quest is attached to one of your party members. And they bring them into whatever the quest is going on. So, like, one of the side quests that you missed out, the one where you discover the other town in Genon,
yeah, right,
is it's just like this guard, you know, guard the dog while he delivers a message to the other city or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, that's one of the worst structured side quests ever, right? Like, nobody likes guarding
escort missions. Yeah,
escort missions, yeah. But it's this whole thing about, like, it's the leader, you know, that lady who's kind of like the leader of the under Junon city,
yeah,
you know, she's sending a message to her son, and that's like Barrett's quote unquote side mission. And he's talking to you about Marlene, and he's like, there's this whole thing about, I don't know if I'm ready when she grows up and I'm going to have to let her go. I don't think I can do it, this and that. And it was so small, but I just thought, like, moments like that were so beautiful to me. 'Cause it's like, yeah, the quest itself is super boring on the surface, but I'm interested in Barrett and how it's related to his character growth.
But like, I don't remember any of that being in the Grasslands.
Well,
and maybe that's the problem, is maybe the Grasslands is like, hey, here are the systems, here's how you move around, here's that. And like,
I guess, but like, even for me personally, like the flower mission where you're getting the crown of flower, like,
yeah, that's a notable one, sure.
I liked those characters. I thought the side characters were really interesting. I like their parents were gone, and you know, my mom used to make this for us, and that connects Aerith with it. She's the flower girl, and you're talking about this. And I actually liked their that kid is kind of a through line throughout the game. Like, there's more side quests with them, and you learn more about it. And he connects with the chocobo guy from the first game.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of wraps up really nicely. There's this whole arc with him. I thought they did really well. Like, I was surprised at how invested I was in the side characters and the side quests, because the first game was like, that was some of the weakest points,
mm-hmm,
where you're like collecting cats and stuff.
Yeah.
But they didn't have that extra depth to it. So I thought they did a really good job with this one. Yeah. I mean, some of them aren't great. Like, some are better than others, but I think a majority of them are really good. Like, in the Grasslands, even, you talk about the windmill one. But I was really interested because that chick kind of had a relationship with the guy from the inn, from Calm.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I was like really interested in him. Like, oh, he's an ex-soldier. You know, he's going through this shit where he's like going through the degradation and stuff. He's, mm-hmm, falling apart. So I think there was enough tidbits where I was like, it kept me interested. For me personally.
It was a one-way street with that, I think, is my thing. And that's a probably small criticism with just how big the game is.
Yeah.
But like, you're absolutely right. The, I guess the lore is there, but the way it drew me in was just not, not hitting.
No, I think it's fair though. Yeah. But yeah, I know I've been going a little bit for this, so I'll wrap it up, but
yep, sorry.
I think, it's a lot to talk. I've probably missed a ton of stuff. I wish I was more organized with it, but I think overall I just really love this game. And you know, I had to second guess myself on this because it's like, man, am I just like have rose tinted glasses on,
mm-hmm,
like looking at this? But I, you know, I, like I said in the beginning, it's not nostalgia. Maybe I just have a really attachment to these characters. So I want it to do well. So like, I don't know, but I thought it expanded on everything from the first game. I thought they're faithful to the original while adding new and interesting things and expanding certain sections. And I just had a blast with it, honestly.
I mean, that's all that matters. At the end of the day, like, it doesn't, like, I don't think that's on you to be like, okay, well, let me try to, take a step back if you want to be an exercise. But if you as a reviewer love the game and it's just like, hey, this really resonated with me for this reason, that's just as valid as me being like, ah, it didn't resonate with me because of this, 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 this.
Yeah, but when you're critiquing something, I think it's good to be, there has to be some level of impartialness.
Sure. And that's what I'm here for. I'll keep you honest.
Yeah, bring me back to earth. But even the amount, sheer amount of mini games in this, and like, are they the greatest mini games?
I was going to say, you like the mini games? Is that?
I did. I thought
they
were.
You like fighting frogs?
Yeah. I loved that part.
Oh my gosh.
I thought it was funny.
I hated it.
But here's the thing. It wasn't long.
No.
It was really short. Like if that dragged on, yeah, I would be like, all right, this is stupid.
Yeah.
This is going on too long. But it was like this cute thing. You get these moments with Tifa, who's the best. It's funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, there's a lot of charm that worked for me. Maybe it doesn't work for everyone. Maybe that's just a difference that we have. But that stuff really worked for me, where it's like, again, it was all about the characters. It was all about like, here's just another moment, memory that we're making on our journey. It just really felt like a journey.
Yeah.
And character growth and everything. I think that's what the game's going for, and I really got that sense of it, where it's like, we're doing all these silly things, we're interacting with all these people, we're learning a lot about ourselves while going on this quest. And like, I was listening to someone else's, not interpretation of it, but like, what he was saying was like, the point of all these mini games and all these side character stuff is because like, you want to be able to save, like you want a reason to save the planet, right? Because at the end of the day, that's what it's about. And that's really any game where you're like trying to save the world. Mm-hmm. It's like, why should I care about the world? And it's like things like this that like kind of connect you to that world. And this is why the world's special. This is why it's worth saving, right? Like you have to have that component to it, or else people are going to check out.
Yeah.
Maybe it won't work, but you have to try something.
Sure. Yeah.
And I felt it was successful for me, like those kinds of things. Yeah.
I mean, it's fair.
Yeah. No, I like the frog one. You know, like the frog mini game Fall Guys?
No. I mean, I like that more than the fighting.
Yeah, the fighting's not great,
yeah.
But it took me like a minute.
I already thought that the fighting was sluggish just in the normal game. So then you put it in frog form, it's even worse, you know?
Nah, just spam Braver and destroy the frogs.
Terms of like a rating, right?
Yeah.
Like where are we landing? Because this is 100% you. Like take my, like obviously I have thoughts about it. I want to write kind of something just to kind of summarize, you know, how I'm feeling. But for you reviewing the game, like yourself, what are you thinking?
Yeah, this was a tough one for me because I really liked it. I loved it. And I just, it was a really special experience for me because I just like, I haven't felt this way about a game in a long time where I was obsessed with it. You know, I've enjoyed games, a lot of games in the past few years, especially. I think there's been a lot of great games, but this one in particular, I think it's a combination of waiting for it. I think just this type of game is really up my alley.
Yeah.
But I do think it was well done as well. And so like combination of those factors, I have it pretty highly rated in my mind.
Okay. Dude, I feel like there needs to be like a drum roll or something.
Yeah, it's just like...
just say it. Just say it, man.
Yeah. So
go with your heart.
For me, it's I put it at a 96.
I knew you were going to say 96. Yeah.
Because I think it hits that tier because for me personally, it's special. And when I think a game's special like that, I gotta put it in that.
That's platinum,
tier.
Right?
It's a plat.
Yeah.
It's the lowest plat, but yeah. It's
yeah.
Plat. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Which I know you totally disagree. I'm inflating it for sure. Like I know an open critic, it's not even that high. It's like a 93, but
yeah, I think for where I'm at, you probably gave it like a 10 point bump.
Like a 86.
That's closer to where I'm at. Yeah.
I mean, 86 is still gold, which I was surprised.
No,
I think it
deserves to be a gold. I think it's a well-made thing. I don't want to kind of disparage that. I just like,
I would split the difference there. I would go
no.
The difference
nope.
be. I know you're not gonna do that.
I'm not gonna do that. It's 96. You locked it in. It's
I know.
Late.
I know. But
I stand by that. I
don't know. I think if you go into the game with an open mind, if you liked the first game, you're gonna love this game.
Mm-hmm.
That's my take. Although not for you.
Nope. Not the opposite.
But I really think that. I seriously don't know. I was like really surprised. I knew you wouldn't like it as much as me because I've just been like thinking about this game forever, but yeah. I was surprised. You were saying, oh, I was playing Final Fantasy. I have thoughts. And I was like, oh, does he really like it? It was the total opposite. So I was like, oh, never mind.
It's just, I normally gravitate to something that I love about a game.
Yeah.
In this case, it's, holy crap, I really like Queen's Blood.
Yeah, sure.
So, like, I'm actually going and buying all the, like, typically if a game, like Witcher had their version of it.
Gwent.
Did Cyberpunk have something?
No.
Making that up? Okay.
I don't think so.
Anyway, but they had, yeah, like Gwent and everything. And it's just like, man, I don't want to go and buy all these cards for things and
right,
stuff.
Right,
I don't care.
Right. Yeah.
But this game, it's like, absolutely give me those booster packs. I want to see what else I can do and whatnot. And it's like, to me, that's, if that's my favorite part of the game, that's when I'm like, I'm really taking a hard look at like what do I normally gravitate towards? And it's like checking off things on the map and clearing it out. But like, that's so samey too. That it's just like, nah, I'm good. You know?
Yeah. I felt like, I don't know, for me, it was so quick. I think they were efficient with your time where it's like, I could start checking these things off. And I'm like, oh, well, there's another spring over here. Might as well grab that. And I'll do that fight real quick. And then by the time I know it, I got 80% of the thing done. I was like, I'll just complete this zone.
Yeah.
And I found myself just 100%ing these zones where it's like, at first I didn't think I was going to do that, but I don't know. But I see what you're saying too.
It's just, yeah, like I did it. And then it's like, well, what did I really, like, did I enjoy my time doing that? Even if it was quick and efficient and whatever. It's like,
I don't know. I felt like you because I was like, oh man, look at my bar going.
And normally that's me. But even that, I didn't get enjoyment out of.
Yeah.
Where I was just like, eh. Like the best parts are, you're 100% right, is the story and the interactions of the characters and everything.
Yeah.
So like, if I want to mainline that, that's fine. Yeah. It's just.
Well, I like the lore too. So like when you're doing the Life Springs, like, yeah, it's the same, but like, oh, I get another thing about Junon and I get to see the history. And I was into that personally. So if you're not into that, that'll hurt you. But
I mean, even dumb things where it's like every time you went to the tower, I would rather climb the tower to the top and hit it versus like watching Cloud slowly pull out the little tool and click it into there and then have what's his face get on the little screen being like, hey, Cloud, thanks for doing this thingamabobber.
Sure. That's fair.
You know,
I think that's just a PlayStation thing, though.
Yeah.
Like every PlayStation game is like, hold Y to do this.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
And it's not always hold. And it's just like sometimes like it pops up and you hit it and then it's like, he does something, but then you have to see the animation of him like failing at doing it. And you're like, oh, right. I have to hold it. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Like the posts pulling those up.
I did that a billion times. It's way faster when you do it with a chocobo.
Right.
Than him.
Right.
It's, I don't know. Anyway, 96.
Yeah.
High praise. What do we give Baldur's?
97.
97. Okay. So Baldur's is still number one, but.
Wow, Baldur's Gate is like a crazy.
Yeah.
Look, I admit I'm biased on this one, but the thing is for me is like these characters in my mind are so iconic.
Yeah.
But I think it's for a good reason. Like it is solidified in my mind that these are some of the best written characters of all time. Because again, it's not like I grew up with them. They brought me into this with the remake.
I really want to go back and this probably isn't, maybe it is popular. I don't know. I really want to go back and play through a little bit of 10 because for me, I like 10 more, like character wise.
Yeah. 10's great as well. I mean, here's the thing, dude, like 6 through 10 is like pick your poison.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone's favorite usually falls into one of those. That's like the golden age in my mind. And it's like, it's interchangeable about like, it really just depends which one you grew up with or whatever. I loved 10. 10's great.
One last note I have on the characters is, so I don't know what it is with this one, and this, I might be way off and you might not get this at all, but in the first game remake, right?
Uh-huh.
I'm playing as Cloud. I'm going through, I'm kind of just like learning the ropes, like with him as the character, and everybody's like, talking to me and interacting with me and different things like that. In this one, I'm not saying that the characters don't interact with me, but it seems like they're way more just interacting amongst themselves and out in the world and do different things and less with me. Or like it, Cloud will be like, eh, whatever. Or like, okay, and stuff. I'm not saying 100% of the time.
Yeah.
But it seems like he's detached from what's going on more than in the first game. And I could be way misremembering that first game.
Hmm.
But like, at least in that first 20 hours, he's just like tripping. Like most of the time. And I get it. Like he's just like, he's having the headaches. He's doing the things. He's like, Sephiroth is everywhere. Yeah. You know, like whatever. Yeah. But it just seems like he just doesn't care. And he's just like such a dick. Like, I don't know. And yeah. It's like everyone else is just being earnest and trying and stuff. And he's just like this. And that's his character. Like, yes. Right. Like that's yeah. completely fine.
Right.
It hits different for me in this game in a way that I'm like, I'm not. Your whole thing is it's one of the greatest games you've ever played. My whole thing is didn't connect with me.
Yeah. I think it's fair because like,
fine.
Look, here's the thing. In a game like this, I think they swing for the fences.
Yeah.
And it's either you're going to hit a home run or you're going to strike out. I feel like there's not really in between on it.
Although
it's not
fair.
Like you're saying it's a trash game. Like some people were saying it's like a terrible game. Like I saw reviews like this game's boring, terrible.
Like
six out of ten.
I would not say it's terrible because it's a high production. A lot of the cutscenes, the camera angles, the way that everything is moving, the lip sync, like it is a polished game in those regards.
Sure.
I just think the gameplay for me is the weakest point.
And that's surprised because you like the first
70
one.
Hours into it.
Yeah, that's what shocks me.
And maybe I like the first one more because it was a little bit more on rails and it was a little bit more.
Yeah, but
like,
I'm just talking gameplay. I'm just talking combat even.
Yeah, but a lot of that gameplay, though, is like you're just in this open world doing whatever. A lot of mini games. Like, I'm never big on mini games. Like,
that sort of thing.
So it's like
yeah.
The other game, it was on rails. It was pushing you like story beat to story beat.
Yeah.
But like it felt more dense and felt more like stuff was just always kind of going on and the story was going through.
Yeah.
Where the thing you run into with an open world game, and every open world game has this, but it's like you either progress the story or you try to find like the side stuff and kind of do that and then eventually kind of continue the story. Where I think Remake just progressed the story the whole time.
Yeah.
I'm not saying there wasn't side stuff to do, but it all kind of funneled into this like keep moving. And maybe I like that more, that
it's
approach.
It's easier to maybe streamline that one.
Yeah, it just maybe felt a little bit more cohesive. I felt like I was always like, I mean, the world is ending, Sephiroth's whatever, blah, blah, blah. And like, it goes from, we just, at least Cloud saw Sephiroth, fought Genova, did all this weird stuff. We just watched like all these shadow guys get murdered.
Yeah.
That was like 5 minutes. And then the next 5 minutes is we get off a cruise ship and the mayor's throwing lays on us. And the girls are like, let's get into bikinis and go to the beach and all this other stuff. And it's just, it wants to be serious and wants it to take it seriously, but then I'm surfing on a dolphin, you know, you know, it's a little more jarring, I think, than the first game personally.
Yeah. That's a fair critique.
That's where I'm just testing out my arguments whenever I eventually write the,
you're going to write
a differing view, a
differing viewpoint. I'm excited to see that.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. 96. Anyway, all that being said, 96.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that platinum?
Yeah. It's pretty high.
It's pretty high.
Dude, I got to go with my heart on this one, though.
100%.
I
fought you on Final Fantasy 16 because I beat that game.
Yeah.
And I felt like I had to say something.
Yeah.
This, I'm tapping out, man.
I still think Final Fantasy 16 gets way more shit than it deserves, though.
Sure.
But we're not going to rehash that.
No, it's...
But I feel that in my heart. Maybe I'm just a Final Fantasy fanboy, which I didn't think I was, really. Maybe I am, though. I don't know.
And I'm a grumpy old man that is jaded by video games. And that's fine. Like,
I just
we'll find
had
that
so
balance.
Much fun with it, man. I like, at the end of the day, what is a game trying to do? It's trying to create a good experience.
I am I would rather bounce off of a game knowing that you, or like in anyone,
sure.
But, you know, you played it, knowing that they loved it. Like, you loved it.
Yeah.
It's like one of your all time favorite games.
It is. And
in 96, which is like,
it is.
I am more than happy with that. Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's completely fine.
Yeah.
Because there's another one out there that it's unknown, probably isn't even announced yet. It's going to be some indie title that I pick up and play, and it hits me, and I love it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's completely fine.
I mean, that's the beauty of the...
Yep.
of gaming.
And that's what excites me. That's why I thought long and hard over lunch, and I was like, you know what? Why force it? Like, you put the time in, you did everything. Let's get your review. Moving on to Dragon's Dogma. Maybe that's where I love it.
I doubt it.
And then next week, maybe, whenever I start talking about how much I hate Dragon's Dogma,
I was going to say, I don't know. Then we'll I would put that thing. Success rate at a low percent. Maybe you will, though. Who knows?
We're going to find
out. It doesn't seem like your kind of game, but we'll see. It doesn't seem like my kind of game.
You know what I'm expecting? And this is going to be the make or break.
Yeah.
I'm expecting an accessible Elden Ring.
Oh, yeah. I hope so, too.
From everything that I've seen, I'm expecting an accessible Elden Ring where...
Is there a difficulty level mode?
Who knows?
Oh, you don't know?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm expecting an arcade-y, fun to play, maybe not as deliberate with the... like, because the combat looks sick. Like, that actually looks cool.
Really?
Yeah.
You were saying before, though, you didn't think it was that impressive.
That's because I didn't see the combat.
I
just saw people talking and wandering around.
I see.
Now that I'm seeing a lot of the combat, I'm like, oh, this actually looks kind of unique. So we'll see how it feels.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that, I see something shiny over here. I go over
and I explore
and I find something. That intrigues me. So if they can make good on that, and that might not be fair.
Yeah.
If people play in Dragon's Dogma and they're like, this is nothing like you're an idiot, then I'm an idiot. That's fine. But that's what I'm expecting, and we'll see.
Yeah, I'm hoping I like it too. I'm trying to go in with an open mind. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So either we're going to do that or we're going to spar.
Yeah, Tekken is a great backup. Tekken's so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two very different experiences. I can't wait for Final Fantasy to come out on PC though.
So you're going to do it again?
Oh my God, I'm going to do it again. I think I'm waiting for the PC version to 100% it.
Yeah.
Love a platinum trophy on my shelf, it's like, nah, I want, like, to be in the world for that long, I need it to look beautiful.
Yeah. Why not? Have a mouse to go through the inventory. That alone might be better.
Yeah.
Or unless you play with a controller, but still.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Anyways.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. There it is.
That's it.
That's it.
96. Good job. Final Fantasy Rebirth.
Yeah. Hey, at least it's not like a World of Warcraft mobile game that's like a platinum.
Well, we haven't had him on since then.
That felt
just
wrong.
Kidding. We love you, Jeff.
Oh no, I love Jeff, but that felt wrong.
Well, hey, if it hits you, it hits you, man.
Exactly. Well, I'm hypocritical because I'm like, all right, that's all we got.
Yeah,
we went pretty long, so apologies. But if you made it this far, we appreciate you. Check us out: www.couchcompany.games. Tyler revamped the website. It's looking all spiffy. And we're gonna be here same time, same place next week, potentially. Thanks for joining
us. Yeah, we'll see.
Thanks for joining us on the couch. Peace.